Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Cause I'm missing you, I'm still alright to smile. Girl, I think about you every day now. Was a time when I wasn't sure, but you set my mind at ease. There is no doubt you're in my heart now. Said woman, take it slow, it'll work itself out fine. All we need is just a little patience. Said sugar, make it slow, and we'll come together fine. All we need is just a little patience. I'd rather be alone. If I can't have you right now, I'll wait, dear. Sometimes I get so tense, but I can't speed up the time. But you know, love, there's one more thing to consider. Said woman, take it. Things will be just fine. You and I'll just use a little patience. Said sugar, take the time, cause the lights are shining bright. You and I've got what it takes to make it. We won't fake it. Never break it, cause I can't take it. Thank you.
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on Thursday, March the 20th. This is the update show with Drake, and we have a special guest on this evening, John Darash again from the Citizens Grand Jury. I played that song because some of our members have been losing a bit of patience, you know, and the board today has been a bit of carnage on the last few days. Can I appeal to the members to not do that? I know you're all anxious. I know you all want to get it done. We all do. But, you know, if you please be nice to each other. It makes my job easier. I have enough to do in the background without dealing with carnage. And please help the admins out. You know, they're important. They give their time free, the same as everybody else. And just a little bit more patience. And on that note, I'm going to hand you over to Drake. Hi, Drake.
Hello, I got to make sure I ain't standing on the mute button or something.
No, you're okay now.
Yeah, I have problems like that every once in a while. My computer hates me, among other things, so I have lots of fun. Well, I know everybody's impatient. I am, too. You ought to see it from this side. If you think it's fun out there, you ain't got a clue. Now, I've been kind of holding back on some stuff and waiting to see what would happen, and I finally got had enough on the horse hockey I've been seeing on mainstream media and all over the internet and whatnot about the situation in terms of freedom on this planet. And I ain't just talking about here. I'm talking about Crimea. I'm talking about China. I'm talking about Iran. I'm talking about Israel. All them mojammers that want to play so bad that they can't stand themselves. And they, you know, they get so excited they tinkle down their leg like a little puppy dog, you know, runs at you and just puddles all the way over to you, sometimes up on your shoe. They're just so glad to see you they can't stand it. Well, I'm going to try to fix some things. You guys need to have a perspective and understand exactly primarily what's going on. Now, I have been putting out info, lots of info. Now, there's two main posts that you all need to read if you want to know about finance. I put two of them out. It names, gives a list of the groups involved, and shows their family history and heritage and all that lineage and other funny stuff, their relatives, cousins that got the job, hand-me-downs, you name it. Who did what to who and how much? I mean, there ain't very much left out of that. I felt that since how I had researched this a long time ago, that it was time to put this stuff out. Some of it ain't exactly up to date. that don't matter. If you take a look at it and read through it, you'll see, well, I know that guy. I've heard that last name. First name ain't right, but the last name, oh, my goodness, look at that. Well, that's what I want you to do. Look at that. You're going to have to take some time out of your busy schedules and drinking a cold one sitting on the couch and bring yourselves up to speed, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, I ain't declared emergencies or gone off the deep end quite yet, but I'm getting closer. Here's how it is. I have requested. I got upset. Blew a couple of fuses and told everybody, hey, it's time. Let's get up. Let's show somebody what can be done. And I was surprised at the lack of interest. I was really shocked that people don't have any more value equated to their freedom than not to stand up or do nothing. I really was shocked. When you call somebody to say, I need a volunteer, and nobody's hand goes up, it kind of tends to make you wonder what you're doing. Why are you bothering? Well, I'm going to tell you why I'm bothering. I'm going to tell you what's going on to an extent that you're going to get what is happening to the point that I would like to see some volunteers. You can contact us. There are manners and ways to do that. Now, much of what I know about things is sensitive, so I was asked to keep quiet. And I have bit my tongue long enough, it's a bloody mess. And I'm at the point where I just about can't stand it no more. Now, the best-kept secrets have a shelf life. They only last so long. And I don't mean by going stale like food. I'm talking about they only have so long before somebody gets in the door just a little bit and finds out about it and says, really? And then the door gets opened. And they go in there and they go, oh, my God, look at this. Well, I decided to put some forethought into some of the Intel release and make it public as a press release. If you have not been on AmericanNationalMilitia.com, go there and read the press release. It's going to clue you into some things. And I'm going to cover some of it tonight in a much different way, to a much more in-depth and detailed scale than people want me to. I have personally had enough of this foot dragging and, oh, I think I'll play with the NCAA instead of redraw the map in Europe. Now, you talk about a pen. Pen's mightier than a sword. Well, I heard a very interesting take on negotiations, so to speak. In other words, we're trying to talk people out of doing stuff that they decided they're going to do, and they got a superpower backing them. That's something that's also in the press release. You have to read it to find it out. Go read it. Here's the deal. Because people didn't want me to out this, I decided to go ahead and double check. Now that things are beginning to happen, they said, well, we'd rather you didn't, but we ain't going to try to stop you. And I thought, well, what does that mean? And I said that. What does that mean? I'm one of them dummies that asks a direct question to get some kind of answer, even if you're talking to the wall. Sometimes you can have a conversation with a wall, in case you didn't know that. these walls, these secret hidey holes and funny little places you never thought to look for stuff, you'd be amazed. Try looking in a place called thegovernmentattic.com. Try looking in there, and you want to find out some storage stuff that you brush off the after you get through the cobwebs, of course, and run Spidey out of the way, dust off the dirt. You're gonna be shocked at what you find in there. I mean, you want to find all kind of documentation. There's all kind of whoopity doos that you've been hearing about for years on the internet. We ain't got no proof, but boy, we know that they're doing something like this, that sort of stuff. A lot of the documentation's in that one website. They put it out because they feel like they don't care. They don't have to worry about it. These are the oligarchs. These are the rulers. These are the bankers. These are the financiers, the people that are the elites. They're so elite they don't, you know, they're above the law. They can do anything they want. They've been proving this. Well, they're beginning to run up against it, and they're finding out that they can't just do anything they want to. And there's going to be some proofs in this. It's coming. I've already found out some things, and that won't be on the show, but these will, and these are gonna open things up a little bit. And I hope that the amount of fear in terms of reality sinks in deep. I hope y'all pay attention. I am not, as such, one that plays games with tinfoil hats and all this other happy stuff, primarily because everybody wants some kind of proof they can hold in their hand. Oh, boy. Well, there's several things going on. Neil opened a can of worms a little bit not too long ago. I don't know if everybody's noticed, but I am not enthusiastic about the existence of the right of the UN to use up my oxygen. I would just as soon take bulldozers and push it off in the ocean to see if it floats with everybody in it. That's basically how I feel about the UN. Anybody wants to kill everybody, it ain't cool. They are not kosher, and they do not belong on this planet. They need to be wiped out, in my opinion. But it's there. And that's part of that cabal. That's part of the bad guys, the crooks, nasties, these people that rape babies because they enjoy that stuff. Ooh. These are the kind of people we're dealing against. And you got to remember something here and get it in perspective. I want you to consider the ideology that somebody has enough power to do just about anything and the money to go with it, both at the same time. What is that person's limitations? Very simple. Until they run up against somebody that's crazy enough to pull a gun out and blow their brains on the sidewalk, They feel free to do anything they please. And I do mean anything. I've talked on the show about what the classes are. The Richies come up through high school, and they're playing games. At high level, we would consider it high-level financial games. They're buying, selling, and destroying companies and people just to see who can do more damage than the next one. He who wins, I guess they get a big whoop-de-doo or whatever it is that they really like. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is on that. You go up from there, you get into the state level. Now, by that, I mean like states here in the United States. You get into the governor, a few senators, representatives, things like that. And you do the same sort of game. Oh, let's see if we can do this. Oh, man, you can't pass that shit. Oh, yeah, want to bet? Yeah, let's bet. That's what they're doing. It's a game. All right? Take it to the next level. Now we got countries involved. Now, this is after you've gone to college, generally. But sometimes some of these people are good enough to get into the game while they're getting their so-called education. And yet what they do is they play games with countries. They sack, pillage, and loot them. And they take all of everybody's money and laugh at everybody because nobody's doing nothing about it. And these are some of the things that are covered as to the family members, the people's names, who did so, have done so, have handed the rights down through generations. You remember how the kings and queens used to be? They'd have a kid, and that new prince was going to be the king someday, or the little girl was going to be the queen. Now, I want you to get this straight. I want you to understand. These royal families are real. What I'm about to put out here is going to be very real. It's not going to be nice. I hope it don't scare the whatever out of too many people. Please, if you got a heart condition, hang up and listen to it from somebody else and try to find somebody that ain't too excited. And I hope I don't get too many people too I don't want to see everybody and their mother-in-law with their hair standing on end. I really don't. But it's time to put this stuff out. Now, Neil touched on one part of things. I hate the UN. Anybody don't, read Agenda 21, which is posted on their website, and you'll see why I hate them. They hate me enough they want to kill us all, me included. Well, I ain't got too many kind feelings for something that's like that or somebody. So I got no use for them. Now, I've told everybody about governmental reset, that things are going to change. And I told them that this was in process. Now, I'm going to explain this to you a little bit. In terms of, anybody ever build a house or a garage or something, you don't do it in one day. You got to put concrete down. You got to put this. You got to put the foundation down. You got to put the concrete down. You got to put the posts. You have to put your wall anchors in the right spot. You got to get your posting foundation in to such an extent that it's a little bit heavier duty than other parts. It's going to be supporting all that weight that goes over the garage doors. You know, all that sort of stuff that people don't think about. Then you can build that sucker. Well, you know, get it up anyway, put the doors on, if it depends on whether or not you've got the capability, technical knowledge, and know how to go about things. And I have built houses for a number of years, big ones, little ones, et cetera. However, that's an idea. In other words, you ain't going to do it in one day. You can come along, good carpenter can come along, if everything's set and ready to go and everything's sitting there, especially if it's prefab, but I've seen people who do stick framing just almost as quick as prefab, and slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, you got a building. And, I mean, I know one guy that was doing 2.5 ranch houses. You know, a ranch house ain't great big, but these ain't exactly small. They're sort of medium-sized ranch houses. 2.5 of them a day, every day. I mean, you talk about... You had to keep your distance because the nails and splinters was flying, believe me. You had he had up to 10, 15 people he could put on one house. Each one of them doing something a little different or packing something or pushing on this or pulling on that or beating nails or whatever. I've seen that man wear out a nail gun. Now, a framing nailer is not easy to wear out. I've seen him do it in less than a week. I mean, this dude was awesome, scary, but he was one heck of an excellent framer. I could take a level and a square and go in there and check it, and it was right on. He was more than close enough. I mean, you know, a 16th or 32nd of an inch or something off. I'm more than happy. That way I know all the doors and windows fit. And here's what's funny. They'd frame the outside complete. That's doors and windows installed. Black in the friggin' roof. They didn't do the roofing. We had some people doing that, but you think about that. House, set, interior, exterior walls installed. Now, there ain't no drywall or nothing, no siding, but that's every. And we covered all the outside with half-inch plywood. And, I mean, 2.5 of those a day? Whoo! Be some tired mo jammers when they got done. So these secrets only last so long. Neil added part of one, and it deals with the UN. As everybody knows, that it's been screwed up for years, and it's going to be restructured. Just like I told you that the governments are going to be restructured, well, you got to start with certain entities that are put in a place to control things and influence things in order to set things up so that the restructuring of a government or a country can be done with the least amount of resistance and problems possible. Most all of this and everything I've been able to find, all of my intel sources and whatnot, have all told me, and I made them reassure me. I said, yes or no, I need to know this. And they stated, yeah, look, we're going to try to make this as smooth, painless as possible. The ideology is to make this nonviolent. In other words, you don't get to go hanging people everywhere. even though they did it in Germany, it may not work here too well. But still, I do expect some people get hung on site. They catch that turkey. They probably string him up before anybody can get to him and save him. Now, I prefer, and this is my take from everybody that's involved in this reset process, that we make a little bit of a cherry picking at the very least. The more people who know what's going on that we can keep, the better. We got a place to put them. They built feedman camps for us, and we get to put them in there, and I figure that's poetic justice. I figure that's the way it should have been in the first place anyway. So, this is the idea. You know, you want to capture somebody, fine. You don't get to hurt them or mistreat them or be nasty. I didn't tell you that you couldn't use foul language, but they already probably know what they are anyway, so you're not telling them nothing new. The thing about it is that we need to make this as smooth, reasonable, and equitable. Everybody knows what equity is. Anybody who owns a house does. Equity is the value above what you're paying for it. The amount you owe in consideration to what is paid for it should be, you should have a lesser amount owed than what you got in terms of a bill, meaning that you should have maybe a $200,000 balance on a $300,000 house, as an example, if that was right. Of course, everybody that really listens knows that ain't right. However, here's where we're at. We're building a new house. And I'm going to tell you where it's at. It's going up in China. Foundation's in. The rest of it should be coming along very nicely, very, very quickly. It's going to be the new headquarters of the United Nations. They are leaving our soil. You can rejoice, jump up and down, clap, drink something nasty, whatever you feel like you want to do to celebrate. That's fine. Now, number two, in the process of relocation, the United Nations is going to be put back to its original intent and purpose in terms of its charter is going to be rewritten and a whole bunch of stuff. They're going to become truly the United Nations. This don't mean you get a group of people that want to blow the whatever out of somebody because they're a different religion, color, creed, or they look funny to them or whatever. We ain't playing those games anymore. The interesting part about this is that this has all been mentioned as to resets that I've talked about. I've been freely talking about it for a while now, not only on the show, but also on the Facebook page. I've made posts about it and things of this nature. So, first you got to remember that you do have this thing going on with the finance. Anybody don't know that, I don't know what cave you're living in, but you need to come out in the sunshine and listen up. The finances of the planet are in big, deep doo-doo. I would liken it to somebody who has fallen into an old outhouse pit and is treading, and it ain't water, is treading for their very life, praying that they can get a hold of something or get themselves out of the squat that they're in. Well, anyway, so that is one of the intel items that you need to understand. You need to know that these things are being done. You need to understand that there are a lot of things that have to be taken care of on a combination of intelligence level, finance level, and structural level. And it ain't a direct structural level dealing with just the United States, but the UN deals with everybody. You have to understand the importance of that maneuver. This is of great importance. And the restructuring of the United Nations back to what it was supposed to be is going to bring about extraordinary changes in the way that business is conducted. Believe me. Okay? Now, everybody who hasn't paid attention needs to go to AmericanNationalMilitia.com and read the press release. It deals with some things that people are not aware of, namely Russia. The people left out of this is China. People consider these countries our enemies, and yet you got Russia standing up for the freedom of the Crimean people to make their God-given right of free will decision as to how they want things to be. The whole rest of the cabal, oligarchs, wholly owned subsidiaries of the central banking system, objected. Hey, Merkel, I heard that you're a testy old hag. I heard that from somebody that I know that has met with you. And I'm sorry, but you don't fit into the mix. Now, they come out with this poll about the greatest leaders, and you come in number two. Well, the idea of number two fits you. You are full of it. Believe me, you are full of it. You know this. I'll offer you this. Anybody out there who wants to take Merkel apart, audit their banks. See where her accounts are and how much they hold. Ooh, European Union will be stringing her up in the park, guaranteed. She's a big crook. You got to watch them. They sneak up on you. So then you got Obama running his big mouth, and he don't mean nothing, obviously. Putin and a Russian consortium is laughing at him and John McCain and all them other turkeys that decided to flap their gums and not do nothing. I hope everybody's following the idea here. I mean, you got dinks. You got I posted something on the Facebook page. I mean, you know, Joe Biden is running his gums, flapping his tongue. Well, Biden, I don't know how to fix stupid, and you're loaded with it. Bill Cosby called it brain damage. Well, you got something worse than that, and I don't know how to categorize it. It don't fit in any place that I know of. But believe me, the reason they don't assassinate the president of the United States, Mr. Barack Obama, is because Joe Biden would be in charge. Now they they know they'd have to kill him too, for sure. And they don't know if they could do two of them. They might get one if they sacrifice the person pulling the trigger. They might get the other one if they had somebody else pulling the trigger someplace else. You might want to, you know, think about, you know, I can't fix stupid. I mean, this guy don't even know what day it is. But he's a vice president. Oh, my goodness. How they managed all this, I have no idea, other than that everything had to be rigged to get him in there. I have talked a little bit about the subdivision of and changes in national borders. You witnessed the beginning of it with Crimea, and believe me, that's just the beginning. That's the light version. Everything has been agreed to that is taking place. Everybody get this. Everything has been agreed to that is taking place. That includes Ukraine, Crimea, that includes Latvia, all those countries over there. China gets theirs. Believe me, they do. There are going to be a whole load of new boundaries, national borders, reassigned because of this agreement that's been made as to how to split it all up. Yeah, you heard me right. The big boys are going to start helping the little ones. And I don't mean taking them over and rubbing and roughshod and being nasty, unless, of course, you want to be stupid and confront them with a gun. Shame on you. That is not cool. So, basically, you're looking at, you know, save all your old maps because they're going to be changing, and you really want to be able to see the difference. You'd be able to take a marker like they do on them maps on TV, and, well, we got a new blip on this edge. Hey, looky there. There's a new glop on that one. And these things are going to start happening very, very soon. Now, this is a part of the pre-staging for the freeing of the planet, just so you'll know. Part of these agreements are a part of making sure that the cabal doesn't have anything in terms of assets. I mean nada, nothing, squat, zero, zilch, nobody home. The people that are doing this happen to be of the type that will leave the lights on so that the people can come in and divvy up what's there. Yeah, everybody might get something out of this. We don't know yet. We don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes. We do not know where they've hidden all this, quote, treasure and this and that and squirreled stuff away and it's up in the attic and who? Attic? I didn't know a castle had an attic. Yeah, well, that's where the dragon lives. We don't go up there much. It ain't exactly, he's kind of testy when you wake him up. So, you know, these sorts of things all has to be considered. Now, here comes the fear porn, and I hope everybody's ready for this. I don't know how many people watch movies much or have watched them in the past. A lot of people remember Dirty Harry. I like that cop for varying different reasons. Now, I would imagine, and I'm going to suggest this, that Dirty Harry is the reason that we got people getting killed on the street. These people believe that they can do what they want as they see it fit, whatever they're trying to accomplish. Somebody wants to really resist, and you don't feel like exercising, just pop them in the back of the head. Now, Dirty Harry at least knocked him out. I got to give the boy credit for, you know, he didn't kill him unless it was necessary. And if the cops would pay attention to that, the ones that want to be bad boys, and every time I think of bad boys, I hear that song. Bad boys, what you going to do when they come for you? Well, these people that have done wrong things arbitrarily, and that includes all the police, that includes citizens that have been getting loose and being free and not having to atone for their sins by, you know, the old saying, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. The punishment may fit the crime, may not. And there's been a lot of these mucky mucks that ain't had to answer. You've seen it. It's in the news. Somebody kills somebody and walks away. Oh, I think the neighbor's dog did it. You know, I mean, goofy horse manure. Speaking of goofy, I don't know if anybody's noticed. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and a few others have run tapes of some of these idiots that we have made into ambassadors. No, man, I ain't never been there, but I hear the liquor's good. I mean, good grief. I can drag a wine bottle through certain neighborhoods and get better than that. If you want your fix for the day, you can have half this bottle. But you got to do this. You got to accomplish these goals first. And believe me, if you got the right kind of carrot hanging out there, the right kind of incentive, you'd be surprised how hard some people work. And I have worked with some of the low life, worst there is, kind of people. A lot of them work harder than most of the people that I know that are successful. Well, you don't work hard, you work smart. Well, they have a problem, and it's called drinking usually, or drugs or something of that nature, that runs their life, not the way to live. And they've been paying that penalty for years, and they'll probably go out paying it. I want to get everybody to think about something. I want everybody to really consider this because it's something that a lot of people are not fully up on, not aware of, as they should be. I don't know if people, like I say, I don't know if you people watch movies a lot, but you need to. Here's why. You see these things come out, and the sci-fi movies can get pretty squirrely. And I mean, they can get totally squirrely. Now, I use The Matrix, the movie itself, the first one, as a training tool for concept. If you understand the ideology in that, then I can teach you some things that will really bring it home. And by that, I mean, you can take that, take some of the ideas involved in that movie, if they're practically applied correctly, become a serious, real reality in your life. Yeah, that's what I teach. That's some of the things that I try to infer to people so that they can take a tool that doesn't even exist, as far as anybody knows, and make things happen. Think about that now. Everybody's been led down the primrose path one way or another. They've been played with, lied to, schemed, you name it, and primarily mostly the governments and or cabal leg men, foot soldiers, been doing it. Then you got a few that are lower middle management. That'd be like the president. Now, these people don't understand. These people ain't even guaranteed a ticket to ride if they were successful. They ain't even guaranteed a ticket to ride, but they're doing it so that maybe if they do it, if they screw things up good enough, they'll get their ticket. And that's the idea. Screw things up good enough. You can quote me on that. I mean, I'm dead serious. The ideology is to break the country. Well, Obamacare is doing well at that. Obama himself has done enough nasty things to this country that I'm really surprised nobody's brought him up on charges of treason. If done correctly, you can take that boy right out of office right then, in custody, and put the boy behind bars awaiting adjudication. I want everybody to think about that. Everyone to get rid of him? Who's got the guts to stand up? If I wasn't doing what I'm doing, involved in what I am involved in, believe me, I'd do it in a heartbeat. It's much simpler than you think. And no, you don't have to have permission of anybody to do it. That's the sweet part. The man that's going to be on a little later is going to explain some things, and then in a few days we're going to have a press release. I may have a special show with that man because he told me some inside things that definitely will make your day. And I intend to make everybody's day tonight. But I'm hoping, and I really am honestly hoping, I don't give too many people nightmares. Everybody has seen movies of one sort or another where a machine or a computer or something gets to be in charge, and it starts eating you up because, according to Star Trek, you're an infection, according to some of the extraterrestrial type beings they've had on there that they run across in deep space. You got computers that want to destroy everything because you're not as efficient and logical as the machine. You got to really think about this stuff. Now, they've had just so you know, a lot of the sci-fi stuff you've seen is real. Now, in the movie The Matrix, they'll ask about something. They'll make a phone call and tell the teleoperator to download how to do something into their head. Well, we ain't got it quite to that point yet. It's close, but it's got a little ways to go yet. But supra-learning systems, have fun finding that. It's classified in its existence. What they've done is they hooked a computer up to a headdress. And no, it ain't got electrodes, don't have to have. It's a little band goes on top of your head. And you go to sleep, and the computer actually, literally, runs you through however many classes you're capable of handling in whatever particular subject that's been chosen for that particular application. Uh-oh, somebody's calling me. Oh, well. They'll find out that I'm on a show later. The fun begins this way. They put this thing on your head. You become communicable in electromagnetics. This is radio waves. At brainwave frequency with the computer. The computer then can download or communicate with your brain information to to include memories if you want to get far enough into it. Now, I spoke a long time ago about virtual reality. This is a form of virtual reality. Now, you really want to get into virtual reality, you might want to look at some of the experiments done with it. You can get to them. It's going to take you some scratching and clawing to get in there, but you can find the same thing I did. It's available, and none of them even bothered taking it down when they found out I knew about it. And, yes, I put it out in public several times. The first virtual reality experiments, the very first ones, had a little intensity dial. You know, it's kind of like them old electric trains that you used to get for Christmas when you was a little kid way back in the day. You turn a little dial and it'd go fast, get it going too much, it'd fall off on the curve. However, the same thing applies to this. Now, they didn't know that. They thought, they had no clue what they're fooling with, but they thought, well, okay, we'll have some volunteers. They made sure the volunteers didn't have no families or relatives. They missed a really good friend of one of the people who was also an auxiliary or secondary volunteer. That means that person had some access. And what happened was that person found out and accidentally went through the wrong door in terms of finding out, and all of a sudden is standing there going, wow, you know, he's watching. And all these technicians are running around going nuts. God, where did he go? What happened to him? The first guy that they put into this, they put him in a little bit and they brought him back out. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine, no problem. Okay, we're going to put you in a little deeper. Put him in a little deeper. Oh, wow, that was a far-out trip. Virtual reality is very similar to what you see in the movie The Matrix, where they insert you into The Matrix. That is the computer program that makes a life for you and gives you memories and all this other stuff. This is very, very similar, very sistered very closely to virtual reality, but there is a difference. It's true that a person cannot live without their brain. Don't work very well. Your body don't function right, and you pass over to the other side permanent. However, you can take a person to the edge of that, and yeah, I'm talking about near-death experiences and things of that nature. This is the type of stuff that you have to be aware of, that it's real, it's in existence. Where the guy was in a bad accident, and he's all of a sudden he's up toward near the ceiling in the operating room watching them work on him. He's going, oh, man, that's far out. I didn't know they could do that. Well, virtual reality can do the same thing. Now, here's how it is. Whatever the program is, presets your mind. It programs your mind to whatever that is. You can be walking down the street, whatever. The same way that a person can control their being exactly where they've decided to be, and they want to change what that decision is, they go to their subconscious mind and they tell it what to do. There are certain ways to do that. Book 2, the one I just got done going through and getting ready to publish, tells all about that. It gives you all of the basic information you need. Now, it does not go into great detail, but it gives you enough. Now, here's what's neat. In the virtual reality, they took it too far. Now, virtual reality is kind of interesting in that when the mind experiences certain things, it goes well past any kind of limitations anybody can imagine. Deep meditation or meditative state and concentration can cause your spirit or you, your life force, to leave your body. Just like that near-death experience, you'd be sitting there going, well, man, I look like I'm asleep. I'm over here looking at myself. This is pretty far out. Maybe I shouldn't be doing it. I ain't sure what to do. Well, let's see if we can stop this. And bang, all of a sudden you're back in. You wake up and you look around and you look at your hand. You check under the couch. No, there ain't two of you running around loose. Virtual reality actually goes to the point of taking your physicality, your physical being, with you. If you crank it all the way up like you did in the first experiments, they lost 3 people. Gone. They got no idea where they went. Poof. Just like some of these magical people in the movies. Okay, so let's get back to the movies. The movies. You've seen the Matrix. That means you can be put into a computer, into a program. Machines can rule. Oh, let's see now. Wasn't there a movie about machines coming to get us called The Terminator? Now, everybody think about some things. Current science. These are old movies. Current science. Have you noticed what the Japanese have been doing with robotics lately? They got robots that can dance up and down the street. They got some that can hold a cooler conversation than anybody else on the planet. And some that are very specialized can do very specialized things. And what would you do if the Terminator somehow got crossed up with I'm trying to think of that thing's name. Let's see here. Predator. Think about if you put them two together. Okay, now, advanced science in both of them. Robotics in one. Now, you can make these at several levels. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this very carefully, very clearly. You got several very large companies who have been manufacturing robotics for years. They're a very specific type. Everybody's been scared of the zombie apocalypse coming. What would you do if it was a Terminator machine that had your name? I want you to think about this very carefully. I want you to understand that this is not a game I'm playing. And no, I don't go into these subjects lightly. I want you to understand that this is real. They ain't made quite enough of them yet to actually turn them loose, turn them on and turn them loose. Go get them. They don't have enough. There's a couple of problems in this. Some of the rare earth metals have been being purchased in their original habitat, mountains, whatever they're, wherever they're at, by certain entities that are not getting along with the cabal at all. They hate each other, and ain't nothing that the cabal can do to stop them because they're big enough to stomp the cabal out, and the cabal knows this. They don't fool with Big Brother and the holding company because they don't want to get a mountain range slammed on their head. They do not want to. They want to keep breathing. You know. Well, let's see if we can find another way. Then you got a combination of that, and the extraordinary cost. Now, I want you to understand what a microcomputer, true microcomputers, they're beginning to put something similar to that, and it's about 10 years old, into those watches that are now cell phones and internet capable and all that. That's child's play. That's a toy. The real supercomputers are nano-sized. In other words, you could have a whole computer in about an inch and a half square circuit board. Well, you just cover that mother up with plastic, put the leads in where you need them to go, tell them what to do what, and, well, I wonder what would happen if one of them little robotic sweepers got a hold of one of these things. And this liable sit over in the corner and study you for a while before it decides how to take you out. Let's see, if I go over real sneaky, like tie his shoelaces together, he's going to fall over. Then I can give him a bare haircut. You get the picture? I mean, that's silly. What happens if it's real? I want you to remember what that Terminator was like. Combat chassis, programmable learning CPUs. That's a cubic five-stage computer chip. Yeah, they're trying to develop them to a decent working order now in Silicon Valley, just so everybody will know. This stuff's been going on for a while. That's one of the last hurdles. Then the other one is that they've got a real serious problem in terms of the cost of manufacture. These things ain't cheap. Think about specific bulletproof coverings for these things. And by bulletproof, I mean shoot it with a grenade launcher, and that's pretty powerful. And your eyeball will just piss it off. I want you to consider that. You say, if you haven't seen The Terminator, the original first movie, see it. This guy was using plastic explosives, and they weren't really little itty-bitty charges either. And all he managed to do is make the thing limp, and then he had to run over it with a semi to do that. So you got to keep yourself up on stuff. Hollywood tells things in movies, and if you miss this, you need to very well pay attention. Some of the things they have outed recently are pretty extraordinary. There's a movie about clones and drones, and it's in a very advanced society where Earth has been subjugated to this nasty ET that decided they were going to take over, suck everything dry, and then leave. Now, Independence Day had something like that. They're like a swarm of locusts. They come in, they take every natural resource, and when they're all gone, they leave. After they've killed everybody. Systematic extermination by way of hitting cities and populated areas. It's not hard. It's very, very easy for something up in the air to find a grouping of people on the ground. Unless you know how to hide your all your signatures, you're screwed, quite literally. Right now, they got a what they call a weapons systems control distance factoring program that they can hit you in the head with something 2 miles away. A chopper can fire a rocket, follow the screen, and you've seen them, you've seen the laser-guided missiles, very similar, 2 miles away. Now, you know, how far you want to get into that? I mean, you know, recently, there was an outing. Finally, there was an outing to a state official about the super energy weapons. Now, this is basically a tube that's charged correctly, similar to a laser, only what happens is that it breaks the barrier between energies and comes out under highly condensed energy. When that energy impacts something, and usually it's a pulse-type weapon, all right, usually. There are a few that are beam-type, but those are rather heavy, and aircraft can't carry them too easily. The small ones I'm talking about would go on a Jeep at the very least. Aircraft can carry them. And they can quite simply melt something down the size of a tank. They can quite easily, because of the heat and intensity of the release of the energy, vaporize the average bunker or house. Easily done. Don't put no strain on nothing at all. And no, they don't have to recharge the batteries in between or any of that happy stuff. So, what happens when you got a robot and there's hundreds of millions of them ready to go? They're waiting on the final portion of that polynomial cubic chip array to be manufactured so that they can plug it in and turn them loose. Do you really think that drones are an accident? Do you really think that the only people that are going to have them are governments? Do you really think that Monsanto doesn't have enough money to buy a set of drones to protect their property and their people? Do you really believe that the really super rich are defenseless? You guys got to really, right? You think that the fun and games is fun and games, and we can all jump up and down and say cute things like I do on Facebook, and there's no problem. Well, I told everybody not too long ago I was going to quit pulling punches. Now, here's how it is. In terms of what we are doing, in order to control the cabal, we are going to have to take definitive actions on large scales. That's is being done. Putin and Russia stood up, and I'm thankful that they did. They said, no, the will of the people override your incessant ideology that you have sole ownership and property rights to the people. It don't fly. Slavery is a no-no, and we ain't having any, and you ain't getting a hold of it. I'm going to make sure of that by taking them under my wing. Think about this very carefully. They're going to have several of these incidents, and it ain't going to be just Russia. There are several countries that are going to band together as groups and tell people, no, you're done, out of here. I'm talking about the closing of certain strip mines and other entities on this planet that are not cool, ain't kosher. But back to this fear porn, if you want to call it that, these people get their jollies off on watching people die. The messier the better, the slower the better, the more screams, the bigger the jolly. That's how these people are. And I'm going to say this again. Think about Monsanto intentionally killing everybody through the food chain, slowly. Think about the fact that Monsanto, Dow Chemical, and a few of these other people were involved in the origination and the proliferation of plastics. I reported on that, and nobody even picked up on it. I was shocked that nobody paid attention. Dude, they're making sure you die early. Our lifespans ought to be 150, 200 years easy presently. It ain't. You're lucky to live 80, 90 years. You're real lucky. 65, 70 maybe, right in that area. That's squat. Well, now let me hit you on the head with the other part of it. What do you think happens to your retirement accounts and all that other happy stuff that you're supposed to be getting when you retire? And they've been making all this money off of your money that you put in there. I'm picking on, say, Social Security as an example, but also all the retirement accounts, the accounts in the banks. Do you think they're really only making 4% interest? If you do, you need to crawl out of that cave. Try 17%, and that's been a few years. If you go to a trading platform and you put in the right amount, about every 10 days to 2 weeks, you get that what you put on there back. You make that much every 10 days to 2 weeks. So you're going to multiply your money by 4 monthly. Get this through your head. I mean, oh, that's fantastic. That ain't possible. Well, yeah, guess what? They're doing it, been doing it for a while. Israel and Iran are at each other's throats. Oh, well, it's funny that they have a partnership trading on a trading platform together if they're such enemies. You got to remember, there's a horse and pony show going on here. I'm trying to get some things to happen. If we can have these things happen, then we're going to have pretty clear sailing. If not, it's going to be a struggle. We have about 6 months in terms of what's going on right now to where the cabal might have a chance at us. Might, and I say might, and it's iffy right now. Won't be very iffy in about another 2 weeks at most. Things will have changed to a point where then they won't be able to do it. But there's still a possibility. It's slim, gets slimmer all the time. But within three, four months, 6 months at the most, they have the opportunity. After that, they don't have the opportunity anymore. Just if we hold what we got right now. We're making advances. We're not laying down. We're not rolling over. And we are not backing up. You've heard that song, Stand Me Up Against the Gates of Hell, and I Won't Back Down. Well, here I be. Now, you got about, 90 days or so before those chips become a real reality and start being shipped. They cannot manufacture a whole heap of them very quickly because of the configuration, the manner of manufacturing involved that it takes to make the damn thing, and there's some rare earth stuff involved in there that is extraordinarily expensive. These robots are not cheap, but they've got stockpiles of them now ready to go, except if they need the brain, they need to tweak a couple of things and program it to do such and such. In other words, they give it a list of names, and it goes out like Terminator, and when you quit functioning, it goes to the next one. That's basically what the ideology is. Right now, they got hundreds of thousands of them. Hundreds of thousands of them. Now, I want you to think about something that's equal to 20, 30 men in terms of its capability of fighting and its toughness. I want you to think about that. Or the average hunting rifle, all it does is make a nice big glob of sparks. Don't even dent it. I want you to think about this. Average hunting rifle, 308, 243, you know, your average deer rifle. Don't make a dent. 50 caliber might make a little mark in the paint, maybe. I hope you're grasping this. If you didn't see the first movie, Predator, you need to see it. That's a little bit different, but similar. Now make that friggin' thing that bleeds, make that thing that is living into a machine with your name on it. And it's coming to see you. I want you to understand that this ain't BS. I have added some things that have been far out. This is about as far out as I'm going to get. I'm not going to play with anybody any further than what I've done tonight so far. And I'll stipulate this. You need to take this to heart. Everybody might be giggling, and they might think this is a sci-fi show, but it ain't. That's the problem with it.
Yeah.
The problem with some of the things that people hear is that they refuse to give them any validity, and they don't even take the time to look them up. You check on that stuff. It's on that website, AmericanNationalMilitia.com. Check out some of that stuff. It goes back to the 1700s, the family lineage of the people that are now in charge of things. Yeah, real, has a heart attack. Anyway, I got cold chills. Tom, you got some music?
Yes, I have. And it's we'll be back with John Darash after the music break. And as
you
said before, Drake, it's been a long time.
It's the end of the world as we know it, I feel fine. That crazy starts with an earthquake, birds, snakes, and aeroplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself, turn worlds with its own needs. Tell me, save your own needs, speed it up and not speed. Got no speed, no matter what the matter with the fear, fight down, like fire in a fire. Represents the southern gangs and the government for hiring a combat site. Electric weapons coming in a hurry with the fury, speed it down, your
Messy reporter strapped to Trump, get the rap, look at that low plane. Find them, overflow, population corner, blue blood, Italy, see with devil, see with devil, world, in your own knees, listen to your heart, come in as a regiment, the reverend with the right. You patriotic, patriotic, land fight, right? I'm feeling pretty tight.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel blind.
Oh, 6 o'clock, see the hour, nobody got four hours. Fresh and burn, return, listen to yourself. Journal, I'm in the uniform, my book is burning, but 11 every morning. Not a mobile city race, not a motor battle, ghetto, step down, watch your heel cross, crush up all this beast, no fear, cavalier, renegade, spear, clear, tournament, of lies, you offer the solution, but not from the alternative,
and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
The other night I'll justify, got our nano justified, Mount Fayette, in a light lantern, first hand lantern, president, plenty of people, Mr. Beck's birthday party, cheesecake, a jelly bean, boom, patriotic, patriotic, slam, for the next set, right?
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Oh, it's the
end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Hi and welcome to the second hour. In this second hour we've got a special guest, John Darash of the Citizens Grand Jury again. The last song was going out to Holly. It's the end of the world for the cabal as we know it, I might add. And I'm going to introduce Drake again and he's going to introduce John.
Hey, I'm back.
Hi Drake.
Hey. Yeah, okay, now I'm sure the mute button's off.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, we got a guy by the name of John, and he's a regular sort of fella, real nice guy, fun to talk to, has good sense of humor, and he is a little bit on the litigious side. That means that the boy likes suing people, making them moan. Tone themselves up to the law, stand there naked in front of the judge and say, yes, sir. And he has put together some things that I am quite honestly proud to be associated with in a lot of ways. The man does what he says. He gets the job done. We get a lot of people through this show that are joining with him because they don't want to be into the violence part of things. And, hey, if you can do something without that, I don't like shooting people. I will. I don't like shooting people. So if there's a better way to do it, then I'm all ears. And John has a whole lot to say about a whole lot of things that have been going on. He intimated some things to me which I can't say anything about now. I'm going to leave that for John. And, John, I would like for you to do me a flavor, or favor. I'd like for you to
is that vanilla or strawberry, Drake?
Yeah, well, anyway, I would like him to let me know when his surprises hits the fan, and we can have a special show on that if he'd like. I'm going to make that offer right now. And I'd like to know that a little bit in advance so that we can give these boys that need it some free advertising. And without further ado, here's John.
All right, how you doing, Frank? Thanks for having us back on again. Appreciate coming here talking with you and the people, your listeners here. And we want to thank the listeners here at Drake's because I tell you, you know, when we came on the last time, we had a huge membership movement in our website. I think it was 128 new members within 24 hours, and things have pumped up and people have become involved, so we're really moving very quickly. We just had a meeting. I just came from a meeting of the Common Law Grand Jury here in New York. We had a conference and to make some decisions on timing and where we're going, what we're doing in New York, and we're going to do something huge, something that hasn't been done in 100 years and has never been done on the level that we're about to do it in, and I can't get into details, but we decided to do this thing on Monday, which will be the beginning of the thing. It's going to take 10 days to go through the course, but we'll be revealing it on Monday, so anytime after that, if you want us on, we'll come in and speak in detail of where we're at and what we're doing with that. So as long as we get all our paperwork done before this week is out and the weekend, it will be on Monday that this hits the fan, so to speak. But let me just give an update and a quick synopsis of what and who we are, and then we'll just open for questions. Where we are and what we're doing, ultimately, we've moved across the nation very quickly. We are in all 50 states. Of course, that includes Hawaii and Alaska. And we are moving very quickly. We have four states now in the union that have totally constituted common law grand juries in every single county. New York is one of them. New York was the first one. We completed that on February 27th, 2014. The last county we constituted was down in Richmond County, New York, which is Staten Island, and that made us a complete 100% unified common law grand jury here in New York. We do have these people on the run. We have three of the highest court judges of New York under indictment presently. We have five judges total. I think it's five, and we have one clerk, we have five more. The last five standing in the executive branch of New York are going to have to make a decision after Monday. And again, I can't get into too much detail of that. I'll leave that where it is. On March 15, 2014, Florida joined New York with a total of 67 common law grand juries, one in each county for all 67 counties. So they, too, became a 100% unified common law grand jury, and they have met the enemy also. Matter of fact, a few of the leaders from that state joined into our meeting in New York here in order to see and for us to lay out to them what we're doing, and they might want to duplicate it, and they're coming at it from a little bit of a different angle, but they're doing similar things we're doing. And in both cases, it's going to be tremendously huge. I think we will be able to say that what we're doing here across the nation. Well, let me just finish off on some of these reports. On March 15, 2014, we also, Connecticut joined on board with eight counties fully constituted. Rhode Island joined on board with five counties fully constituted. New Jersey reported just recently that they believe within the next week they will be fully constituted. Maryland believes before the end of the month they will be fully constituted. New Hampshire believes before the end of the month they will be fully constituted. And there is numerous other counties that believe, states that believe they will be fully constituted before the end of next month. We anticipate every state of the union to be fully constituted. That's 3,142 counties across America to be fully constituted before 4 months are out. We're pushing them to do it in 3 months or 2 months. We're pushing them hard, but people are moving. We have a county counter on our website, and every once in a while you see that counter shoot up. Now, what is it with the grand jury? What exactly are we doing? What we're doing is we're creating we're getting together four individuals in each county across America, and what they are doing is becoming the administrators for the common law grand jury. Instead of the state, namely the court or the prosecutor, orienting the jurist and telling them what the law is and so on and so forth, we the people will take that job on. And what we will be teaching every jurist that comes in, first and foremost, is jurist nullification, which they really don't have to worry about anymore because statutes are not law. That's the fact. Common law is in total opposition of statutory law. Common law does not deal with statutory law. Common law, in our case, is protected by a constitution and a Bill of Rights. And the principles of common law that we will teach every person that ever sits on a jury from that point forward, whether it's a grand jury or trial jury, the principles will be to have a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And by that is how they will judge every case. It is a human thing. Unlike the statutory system, which loves to put people in jail and they make a lot of money off their rescue funds, for those who understand that, this is a totally different thing. The common law grand jury is not about putting people in jail or the trial jury. Juries are not about punishing the wrongdoers. Juries are about, and the common law is about, restoring the injured party. The focus is not on the person who injured the person. The focus is on the person who was injured. And their total effort and focus is to restore that person, whatever it takes. And the people who injured that person, obviously the people who have to restore that person. And therein is the punish. They've caused their own punishment. Jail is not necessarily the case. Jail, again, we've mentioned many times, is for violent people and for judges. That's what jail is for. But in any event, particularly violent people, of course. So the duty of a grand jury or the trial jury, but particularly the grand jury, is to seek out any and all wrongdoing, whether it be in the judicial or the political realms, and fix it. For instance, there's four individuals, as I mentioned earlier, for each county, which becomes the investigative body for the common law grand jury. They receive phone calls, complaints from people who have a problem or a situation or a complaint about a government office or whatever the case may be, and they fix it. For instance, if someone was disrespected or wasn't given information that they should have gotten from a government office and they called us up, we would make the phone call, get a three-way party, find the person, find out what's going on, and order them to be obedient and make sure that they're not going to offend people again, and we'll send the person back down and have them report back to us as things went well. But ultimately, if a problem is discovered in an office, a government office, or even in whether it's judicial or political, then the grand jury has the authority to call up and let them know that we're kind of heading down on a particular morning to do an investigation. And we would be able to walk into that office. We would be able to go behind their counters and their desks, open up drawers, look in cabinets, look in their computers, talk to people, interrogate them privately or together, and just get to the root of the problem that might be in that particular office. And once we discover what the problems are, we would give them a written prescription. You know, our interest, again, is not to indict. Our interest is to repair and fix all wrongdoing. And there's a lot of wrongdoing going on. So they have the ability to write a prescription. And then they have so many hours, whatever we give them, 24, 48, 72, whatever is reasonable, so many hours to fix that problem. If they refuse to fix it, then we bring them before the 25. We will then call together through a pool, a jury pool. These four people are not the grand jury, but they are the investigators and the representatives of the common law grand jury. So then they will pull a pool of 25, and then they will bring the case before the 25 just like a prosecutor would and try to convince the 25 that this is a problem and need to dig deeper. The 25, as a grand jury, then has the opportunity to take that investigation and then call these people down before them in the court and investigate the whole thing and discover what's going on. If they find an injured party, if they find a wrongdoing, they get to write a prescription. Again, it's not about sending people into court. It's not about putting people in jail. It's about fixing the problem. So once that prescription is then put forth from the grand jury, they have X amount of hours to execute it, and if they don't do it, then the grand jury would then send that into the trial jury. All those people involved would be removed from office, and they'd be indicted, and they'd go to trial, and they would have to suffer the consequences, whatever the trial jury decides to be done with those people. And so that's the power of the grand jury. It's huge. It means that we can have a republic again. It means we can have a government that obeys the people again. It means that we can have righteousness and justice in our courts. It means that we can have politicians who behave and stop lying to us. Now the four administrators, four for each county, in the case of New York, the 62 counties, if we did something on a state level, to deal with the governor's office, to deal with the legislators in Albany, in our case, New York being Albany, our capital, or deal with the Senate, or even deal with those we send to Washington. We have 27 congressmen and two senators. So if we have to deal with those people on that level, then the grand jury would be formed by one or more of each of the administrators from the 62 New York counties. And they would come together and deal with that problem and then act as a grand jury in that case. But generally speaking, they normally would not be in that case. And that'll probably be in the beginning having to deal with that. First order of business when we do get our seats in the courts, first order of business is to call in the judge and bring him back down under the Constitution, bind him down, as Jefferson put it, bind him down by chains of the Constitution, to let him know in no uncertain terms that the fiction is out and common law is in, and that if we find that fictional court back in our building again, that would be an immediate indictment. We're not even going to talk about it. As long as he's willing to behave and go forward, we're all good with that. We're not on a witch hunt. We're sure that judge has done a lot of bad things, but we're not on a witch hunt. We're looking forward to save the republic. Later on, if that guy is a big problem and has injured a lot of people, someone will come to us and complain about them, about the wrongdoing that judge did to them, and we would have to deal with it then. But until then, we will deal with him just as an individual, working with us and partnershiping with us and just doing the right thing. We're not going to judge his heart, how evil he may be or not be. We're going to judge his actions. And so he's got three choices when we meet with him the first time. He can either obey us, he can resign, or he can be indicted. So by the time he leaves that room in the first meeting, every judge in New York that's going to have that meeting, that'll be whatever they want. We'll give him any one of those three options. Second order of business of the common law grand jury, once they come into power, is to deal with the sheriff. I mean, not the sheriff, the prosecutor. We will pull the prosecutors, each one of us within our counties, pull the prosecutor's office down and talk with them and let them know that they no longer have the authority or the ability to choose juries anymore. If they want a jury, they call us up. We will orient them and deliver them, but we will not hear any cases that where there is no injured party. And that is another point I probably should have made a little earlier. There are two maxims that all jurists ought to operate under. Maxim number one, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party, and the state cannot be that injured party. If there is no injured party, there is no crime. Point number two, for every injury, there must be a remedy. The focus is on the injured party. How do we fix the person who's been damaged? Okay, so those are the rules, those are the maxims, and the three principles I mentioned earlier, justice, honor, and mercy. But anyway, back to the prosecutor. When the prosecutor comes before the grand jury to speak to them, at all times there will be at least one of the administrators of the county there to make sure that they are not abused by the prosecutor, and we will correct it immediately. Prosecutor is just to put the points out, put their case before the people, and the people will decide. And we will require both sides' information for both sides. You know, these prosecutors love to go and chase people and prosecute them and give them the horrible side of the story, but they like to hide the other side of the story, which the jury might decide, hey, there's nothing here. Why are we going to waste our time? We don't see it. So we're going to require that, too. And the third person we would want to talk to and deal with would be quite differently is the sheriff. We want to befriend him. We want to call him down to the courthouse, let him know who we are, where we come from, what we're doing. We wrote a book called The Jurist, Sheriff, Bailiff, and Judge's Handbook, which lays out the common law quite clearly, and we'll give that to the sheriffs and all the officers of the court, actually. And then that sheriff has that opportunity to go through that book, and then we probably will try to meet with him, if possible, every morning for coffee. There must be a coffee shop down by his office, the jailhouse or something. We'll go meet him down there. And just have a conversation with him every morning over coffee, a half hour, an hour, schooling him on the Constitution, making sure he understands what his job is. And we will explain on our first meeting with no uncertain terms that he understands that he is the top cop of the county, that it is his responsibility to protect the county and not the federal government, and that he is to supersede all other forces, especially the feds. and of course all of the corporate police that are out there that really have no authority anyway. People don't realize that these people can't even arrest you, even though they do, and they go to jail. They don't understand. But in any event, we will make it known to the sheriff. I'm sure they're figuring out, especially here in New York, that we are really running into a lot of problems, that we do have some serious problems within our government, and we may have to be protected from that government. We, the people, will stand at arms with the sheriff, and we'll make it clear to the sheriff that it is his duty to make sure that he secures all the resources of the county, and it feeds and takes care of the people of that county. And anything that is an overflow from those resources will then flow to the other counties, the sister counties throughout New York. And then when there's an overflow of those counties through New York, then it'll flow to our sister states and so on and outward. You know, we got Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and so on. But this is the duty of the sheriff. And the duty of the sheriff is to really, we're going to give him, we're going to talk to him about taking the authority of the militia. Here in New York, they shut down the militia. They shut down our armories. We want them back, and we want them back right away. So for a time period, because of the times we're in, I think it's appropriate, and everybody in New York here agrees at this point, that it is appropriate to let the sheriff be in control of that militia until such point where we feel confident to take it back. It should be under people control, not a sheriff control, and not any individual in government. It is true that the governor can call for the militia, but it better be for a constitutional reason. The sheriff can call the militia. He can deputize. And, of course, he will let him know that he can call us, and we have access and communications to many of the liberty groups throughout the state and throughout the county. So if they ever need a lot of help, give us a call. We'll meet them at the border, wherever it is, and we'll alarm and alert all the liberty group people, and they'll come out, too, and do whatever it is that's necessary to enforce, whatever is necessary to enforce within the county according to the sheriff's command. We're coming into desperate times, and so we really have to be prepared, and we need to move through this as quick as possible. All of this can be achieved within 30 days of coming into power, that is, the grand jury taking a seat. Right now, we're working in a tent outside of the courtroom, so to speak, and our actions are going to be taking place on Monday and for the next 10 days after will hopefully end us up into the courts, sitting in the courthouse under the auspices of justice. We will be posting all that paperwork and that information and, of course, our letter to the sheriff that's going out Friday with this paperwork. We will be posting that on Monday on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. So that's kind of our plan, and that's our focus. I would like to say again, we anticipate all 3,142 counties within the next 3 months. We will try it 4 months. We will try to do it in three or less if possible, but within the next 4 months. Of course, there's a lot of people that are listening to Drake come in with us and start moving with us, and many other people as we're going through and stand up with us, we could do it a lot quicker. About 2-3 weeks ago, I received a call from some people in England and the U.K., and they liked what we were doing, and they wanted to get more information, and they joined forces with us. We haven't really had a conference yet. We're trying to work out a conference coming up soon. And we're going to be adding England as a country next to the states here in the United States, because they, too, are a common law country. They, too, are broken down with counties, and I think they still have their sheriffs in place also. They may call them constables, but I believe they have the sheriffs, too. But in any event, it's the same system. It's the same battle. You look on YouTube, it's the same thing we're doing, the same thing they're doing. Now, we also learned from that point forward, we got connections into Ireland, Australia, and Canada. So we have four common law countries that want to join the United States doing what we're doing, and we're going to be joined on one site and accommodate their needs. I've already looked at the Constitution for the UK, and it's long. It's got a lot of garbage in there, but it's got some strength in there, too. But they are well settled in the common law. They are much closer to the Magna Carta than we are. We do hold very closely and cleave to the Magna Carta. The Declaration of Independence clearly is a product of the Magna Carta, and the great philosophers of the 17th century. But that is indeed the product of the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence is the product of that. So, anyway, that's kind of the big picture in a nutshell. I think maybe we'll just move into questions and see where we go.
Yes, thanks for
By
that,
By the way,
John.
Gerard is with me on the line, too. He may pipe in, so.
Hey, John, I got a question.
Sure.
Is it possible to put grand juries in Canada?
We're working with Canada right now.
Okay,
we
there's some people that have been
yet.
Asking me that
yes.
on Facebook and other places. We got a lot of people in Canada, Mexico, and other places that, you know, as
we,
the countries
we know
come
Canada.
Up. Huh?
We have people in Canada that are interested, and they'll be spearheaded. We will facilitate them with NationalLibertyAlliance.org. We'll facilitate their movement and their organizing of these grand juries in all the counties of Canada. I believe Canada is broken up in a couple of ways, but I think they're also broken up in counties too. I know they're broken up in, I forget the word that they use, but we'll see how
province.
Canada works out. How they break up provinces, yes, thank
yeah,
you.
Province.
So we'll see how that works. And the same thing with Ireland and the same thing with Australia. They're all Commonwealth countries.
Yep.
Okay, well, do me a favor and let me know what countries you are looking to establish in, and I will put your information out. We hit over 60 foreign countries. So...
Uh-huh.
You know, and they need some kind of reassurance that people that things are happening and they can do something. And I think this would be a way to find out.
They need all they need to do is come to us. And we're not seeking. You see, let me explain something. How we started out. We started out in New York, and we only planned to do New York. We had no intentions of doing the entire nation. We figured what we would do in New York would be, you know, liked by other states, and they would just copy us. But we wasn't even 2 months into this thing, and we were getting people from other states coming into our meetings, and we welcomed that so they can learn from us. And then they became more and more involved, and it became more and more people. And they asked us, and we changed the whole program. We were originally New York Liberty Alliance. We changed it to National Liberty Alliance. Prior to that, we were New York committeemen. But anyway, we were New York New York Liberty Alliance. We then changed our name to National Liberty Alliance. We revamped our entire website to deal with the nation, not just with New York. And now recently, we've been drafted into working with other countries, and we've accepted that responsibility. We didn't seek it out. Any country that wants to get involved is welcomed. We do know we want, of course, the common law countries, which is quite a few countries out there. The four countries I mentioned are all common law countries. I don't know how this would work in countries that are not common law, but why not? Let's help figure out a way that we can make it work for them too.
Okay.
Nice.
I'll put out a small announcement. You want me to send them to your website directly?
Yeah, send them to the website, ask them if they can to get to the Monday night meetings. I know it would be different time zone. As a matter of fact, we had people from the UK come on, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning for them. But they wanted to come on and talk to us and talk to the people, and so we spent a good half hour or more with one of the individuals. We had a good conversation, and we kind of consummated the agreement there. And anybody who could do that and come on to that program and they really want us to work with them in their country, we will start to work on facilitating that.
Okay. That sounds great.
And National Liberty Alliance, by the way, is an educational website and a facilitator and help for organizing. Once the grand juries are established here in America, particularly, each state will have a representative for National Liberty Alliance, and they will be sort of the watchman to make sure that no one tries to take over in a national way. We don't give orders down to people. We tell people they got to figure it out on themselves on the grassroots level. What we do is we teach them the process and the procedure. We teach them common law. We teach them the principles. And as long as they run with that, we'll continue to teach anybody that wants to learn. Anybody who takes it in a different direction, we ask them to leave. And they can do whatever they please. You know, they're free to do whatever they want. But we have to act within principles. We have to act within the procedures and processes of the law. And we'll work with anybody who wants to do that. But we don't make decisions on what goes on the grassroots level. If there are troublemakers, that's up to the people in the counties and the states to deal with it. And we will counsel them if they ask for our counseling. And we've done that quite a bit.
What time is your meeting?
Our meeting is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday night from 9 to 12.
Okay. All right. All this info is on your website?
Yep, as soon as you go on the website, you can go look up on the left-hand side. You'll see Monday night meeting. We are changing venues before this next Monday night meeting, but all that information will be there before the weekend's in. I'm going to probably put all that information up tonight, change the venue. We're also looking to do, I just talked with the people who have helped with the technical end of our website, and they're going to work with us to set up a system where we're going to broadcast directly from our website. So it's almost like going to be like a radio or, I don't know what you would call it, a stream, but it'll be a live stream. And so we'll have the conference on live through the phone, and it'll be streamed onto the website. A lot of people like to come and just listen and not necessarily get on the phone. So a lot of people will go to the website to listen, and we have a chat room set up. We're going to enhance the chat room also over the course of the next few weeks and just continue on.
That
we're also
great.
Pumping up security because I know there's a lot of problems. I don't know what happened. Do you know that program, Shake and Wake?
I heard it a couple times, yeah.
Okay, well, they were shut down. I was supposed to be on that program last night. They've been shut down for 2 days now, and so I don't know what happened to that program. But I think they were broadcasting not only off their own website, I think they were broadcasting also to other programming, and they were on, I think they were on Blog Talk also.
I see.
Right. Right. A couple of questions, John.
Yep.
Have you been able to get a courtroom for a grand jury yet?
That's coming up in the next 10 days.
Right, okay.
After Monday. That's part of the program of what we're doing, and very interesting way we're doing this. And I can't reveal too much of that.
Yeah.
But so. Until Monday.
Right. Do all the state's grand juries have to be constituted before they can begin? And can we get an idea when we might start seeing some actual trials? Two parts.
Yes, yeah. Well, you won't see trials even in New York for the first 30 days other than bringing people in order. You know, the first order of business is food and shelter in any survival situation. We're in a situation where we have to prepare for survival, so we have to take care of our house and we have to take care of food. That's why we're dealing with all of the government and all of the judicial process to bring the houses back into order, and the sheriffs to make them sure they understand their job. And that's going to take, we've always said it's going to take about 30 days to do. We mentioned that on our video on the front page. And by the way, anybody who wants to know exactly the details and who we are and what we think and what we're doing and how we're doing it, all they have to do is go to the front page, nationallibertyalliance.org, read the front page very carefully, and watch the video, and you'll get a really good focus on who we are, and you'll be able to make that decision whether you want to join with us or not. But ultimately, the first 30 days have got to be to get the house in order. You know, we're going to go up and talk with the governor. We're going to go up and talk with the Assembly and the Senate here in New York. We're going to also talk with the congressmen and the two U.S. senators. And we're going to make sure everybody understands the rules and the laws, which is the Constitution. We're not asking them for anything more than what they've taken an oath to. And so we're going to lay down that law, and we will return the state back to 1789. It's just going to be a reset of the nation here in New York. And every other state is going to be doing the same thing. It's going to be like the lights being turned back on across the nation. And once we have 25 states, and we believe we will have 25 states within the next month and a half, we will have over 25 states, which means half the nation will be constituted. Now, let me explain what constituting means. It means, and this is just the honorable thing to do, it's just the right way to do it. We've gone to the people in the counties and we've called them together. We put ads into the newspaper talking about the fact that we're pulling people together to reinstate the common law grand jury back in their county. So we put it out in the newspapers as a press release. We invite the liberty groups and people that we have working in those counties. We invite as many people as possible. We come together. We show three short video clips, a total of about 28 minutes long between the three. The first video lays out the position and the problems of the fictionate law. The second one talks about what liberty is. And the third one talks about the power of the grand jury. and it's a short version of what's on our front page. And with those three videos after that, we then, you know, stand up and ask for all those in favor of reconstituting the common law grand jury here in this county. We do a showing of the hands. It's just about every time unanimous. We've had one place so far where we had a person who didn't want to vote, so that was fine. But it's usually unanimous. We draw up the papers. The papers has a declaration of the constituting of the common law grand jury within the county on a certain date at a certain place at a certain time, and then it was a unanimous vote by the people to reinstate this. And the four pages behind that is all of the authorities, by what authority we the people do this by. And then below that, there are three affidavits of three people swearing that they came to this meeting on a certain time, certain date, certain place, and that this vote took place, and that it was a unanimous vote to reconstitute the common law grand jury in that county. And three witnesses on the front page and a seal. Every county needs to go out and get a seal. Many of the people have gone out and volunteered to pay for that, and you know, they'd be reimbursed later anyway. But it's an Embrasso seal, so it's a Ray seal on the paper, 2-inch, circular. And on that seal, it is the same everywhere, whether you're in California, Florida, or New York. It says on the outer ring, it has the county and your state, in my case, Dutchess County, New York, on the top outer part of the ring. On the lower part of the ring, it says grand jury seal. In the center ring, there's a center ring, the top part of the center ring, it says natural law in Latin, and the lower part of that ring in Latin says by the grace of God, and in the center of the ring it says 1215, which is the year of the Magna Carta. Now, every county across this nation has followed that same pattern, doing the same thing, and that shows unity. We also came together and we bought another seal as a unified common law grand jury, which means all 62 counties here in New York have unified together as a grand jury to work together for certain things right now against these judges in New York. And that's also laid the same way out, the same way, except on the bottom it says unified grand jury seal. That brings us together in unity. That's the paperwork. That's the process. And then we take those papers, and they are filed, one with the county clerk for a memorial so that people know it's been declared that we the people decided to do this, again, to bring it back. We don't have to do this, but it's a way to bring it back. And then we did the same thing with the court clerk. We then send a copy of the declaration of this to the court clerk with all the papers and the sworn affidavits and so on and so forth. Again, for a memorial, we tell them to file that, and we give them a notice to file. And at that point, we then visit the court to get access, and that's when we came into battle when the executive branch of the judicial system here in New York, which is operates out of New York City. There's about 8 to 10 of them. I forget the number. They're called the executive administrators of the Supreme Court of New York, the unified Supreme Court of New York. And that executive branch decided to block us. They sent out memorandums to all of the clerks telling them to refuse us access and to return our papers. We only had one court in one county up in Schenectady, New York, that returned the papers. And I'm sure they wish they never did that, because that's 20 years in jail for that person. But in any event, they sent the papers back. No other court clerk did so, because we gave them what's called a file on demand. And in that file on demand, it lays clearly the law and the penalty of law should they disobey it. And by them refusing to file and returning it, and especially to the mail, that doubles the 20 to 40 years now for that person in Schenectady. Now, we have no plan of doing anything like that, putting that person in jail for 40 years or anything, but we sure are going to scare the heck out of them at some point. And but in any event, that's the process. They understand it. There is absolute silence across New York to us from the judges. They don't give us a peep. At first, they tried to, intimidate us, but I think we ended up intimidating them. They haven't made a peep. And we have now been communicating with all of the oath takers for the past 5 weeks. Every single oath taker in the judicial process, including the sheriff, we have been communicating with for 5 weeks. No, oath takers. Oath takers, and that means all of the clerks, all of the sheriffs, and the judges. And we've been sending this memorandum to everyone, and the judges know that the sheriff's been receiving these memorandums, that every clerk has been receiving these memorandums, and the bailiffs are receiving these memorandums. And these are long memorandums. They're letters, you know, maybe as long as 12 pages to 20 pages long. And basically what we've been doing is boning them up on the Constitution, talking to them about the problems, explaining who we are, how we get started, why we're doing what we're doing. We reveal the words of the judges and what they're trying to do and what we the people are doing, and that we're not just a couple of people in the corner of some county. We are people in every single county of New York, and we go beyond that all the way to California and down to Florida and up to Washington, up to New England. We are everywhere. Out into the lower part of California. We're everywhere, okay? So this is not something done in a corner by a couple of crazies that they would try to call us crazies. So anyway, we've been educating them, and we're about ready now to send the big one, and we hope we've educated them enough to know. But we know that these people, when they go to the water cooler or they're having their coffee, that they're discussing that weekly letter, and it is everywhere. Someone mentioned to me today they walked in a bank. I think it was a bank, and a bank teller was talking about it. So it's already kind of overfilling out and into the business world.
Now, what you didn't mention was that besides explaining why we're doing it, we're giving them the authority under which we act. And we didn't create anything new here. There are Supreme Court rulings, and there's constitutional principles, and we're explaining them. Much of the words we use are not our words. They're words of Scalia and words of Supreme Court judges. And we quote them, and we hold their feet to the law. So what we're doing is holding their feet to the law on fundamental principles. And that's why they don't want to go to court, because they can't argue fundamental principles. They want to operate in a fiction where they use word magic and trick you into their jurisdiction. You see, we've cut that all off now by going back to the common law and the fundamental principles. And they have no excuse not to know it now. We're not. This is not a new idea. These are all principles that this nation was founded on, that all common law was founded on, and they're biblical principles also. Ultimately, they stem from the Bible and from common law out of the Anglo-Saxons. So this is nothing new. We didn't just make this up. It's something that they've been trying to hide for years and bury. And they've been very good at it because they dumbed us down in our school. They don't teach the Constitution. Like in New York, we have a law that says they have to teach the Constitution in the education law, and they're not doing it. So this is what we're doing first is educating them, and then we're moving in and resting on those authorities. Okay, I yield back to you, John, here.
Yeah. That was my partner in justice there, one of my partners in justice, Gerard, and he's up in Greene County, New York.
Right. You ready for some more questions, John?
Oh, yeah.
This one is more of a personal one. New York now has citizens' grand juries. I have a lawsuit pending against HSBC. My attorney has requested a pre-trial date for settlement conferences. Is this case going to be tried in front of a common law jury?
That case will probably in New York be tried in a common law grand jury, as long as it's, you know, at least, well, look, any case that's tried anywhere, and if it's in a what's called a nisi prius court, which is a statutory court, which is a court not of record, a court not of record does not have the power or the authority to imprison or to find. So they really can't make any decision. Now, if you consent to it, they can make the decision. But once you discover the fraud, you can bring it back, and you can even arrest the judgment, which means to go right back into court again. But these court cases will all be heard in common law once we get into control and back into the control of the process, which is what the Constitution of the United States requires. It's what New York Constitution requires. And it's probably what every constitution in every state across America requires. And it's also required, even the New York Code requires common law court and procedure. And yet these people, you know, the problem is that the New World Order or controls the Bar Association and the schools. And so these people are educated by the minions of the New World Order, and they turn out minions of the New World Order. So these people actually come out of school believing that these statutes are codes, these statutes and codes are law. And they've come to believe that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all that is kind of passe. In this state, right here in New York, they even make the point. They say, well, that doesn't count here in New York when you talk about the Fifth Amendment and concerning the power of the grand jury. Yeah, that's in the federal courts. It has nothing to do with the states, they'll tell us. These people really have been brainwashed to believe that common law has been done away with. Now, what people need to understand, when they say that common law is no more, that means you have no United States Constitution. You have no Bill of Rights. You have no Declaration of Independence. You have no Magna Carta, and you have no United States Supreme Court rulings, which quite often, everyone I've seen is great, as a matter of fact, to be honest with you. The United States Supreme Court decisions have been tremendous. They are just a power to us. We use them all the time. But you don't have any of those things when you walk into the courts according to these judges and according to these lawyers. And remember, judges are lawyers, and they become judges, and they are approved. The judge does not become a judge anymore unless they're approved by the Bar Association. So you know they're going to get a good New World Order minion up there sitting on their little throne up there on the bench, and we the people are the only ones that can take them down. And so only the people can save America. I think everyone that listens to your show knows that we can't elect anyone to save America, but we can't send anyone to do the people's business. And now that we've revealed to them the power of the people, the authority of the people, and where we're at with this process that we're working throughout the nation, that they have the opportunity to step up and stand up, well, now it's your duty to step up and stand up, not only for yourself and for your family, your posterity, but your neighbors. And because it's just right for God. You need to step up and do it, and you have a duty to do so. And we can save America, and only if and when the people step up will we have a republic back again.
Yes, I agree, John. John, have there been any threats to the people who have signed on as facilitators or common law grand jurors?
Well, zero, really. There's threats in newspaper by professors. You know, they'll write an article, these people are going to be put in jail. They tried to, in the very beginning, write a few letters, and they stopped real quickly to intimidate us. But they sent the FBI out on us three times. They came to us in Orange County, New York. They came to us in Long Island. I forget which county. Let me think. I think it was Suffolk County. Yeah, they came out in Suffolk County, Orange County, and they came out in the Bronx. Their investigation didn't even last the day, and they were out of here. They understood what we were doing. They didn't want to touch us. They understood. And that, you know, these people, I think the federal, I think the FBI, they're an educated individual, and they are trained somewhat in obeying the Constitution, but, of course, they're trying to get them onto the statutes also. But I think they see things a lot quicker. You know, a federal judge sees things a lot quicker than a state judge because they read. I often make the statement, federal judges play chess. State judges can barely play checkers.
Right. Next question. The IRS cannot be an injured party, correct? Question mark.
Right. As soon as that's
established, taxes cannot be court ordered. Is that correct?
You got it.
Yep.
That's correct. And the jury, you know, you need to understand how things work. There are, I believe there are four sections broken. There are four federal courts in New York State. I believe that's the case. And I know there's one down in New York City. There's one in Westchester. There's one in Albany. And I think the other one's out Buffalo way there somewhere. So there's four of them. And those four districts, federal districts, cover a certain number of counties. And for them to get a grand jury, for them to come out after anybody within those counties, they have to draw the grand juries from those counties, and they have to draw even the trial juries from those counties. We will also, once we established the process with all of the states, courthouses, we then will visit the federal courthouses and let the federal judges know the same thing and the federal prosecutors know the same thing. You don't have the opportunity here on the soil of New York with the people of New York. And if you want to get a grand jury, you want a trial jury, you give us a call and we'll pull it together. But don't bring us any trials that there is no injured party, because we won't hear it. And so we have the same thing going on in that district. So if they have a case, they need to bring it to the people, and the people have to decide whether a law has been broken or not. And we will be looking very diligently for an injured party. That's one of the main trainings we're given to the people, and the people pick up very quickly. We do not have to be lawyers to make decisions in a court case. With people, in a court case is a people thing. It's a human thing. And if we're working with principles and maxims, particularly the two maxims we mentioned and the three principles we mentioned, you now have all the ammunition necessary and everything you need to sit down and listen to a story, what's going on, and make a decision. Okay? You could figure out, people will hear for the inconsistencies when someone's lying on a stand or in a court case. They'll look for that, and we'll see it because we're people. And we'll get together and we'll talk about it. You know, when 25 people are examining something and trying to figure out what's going on, I think they have a really good possibility, as long as they're working with principles and maxims, I think they have a really good possibility to figure out the problem. And again, they're not the judges of the people. That's just the first step. And if they can't fix it, they send it into the trial jury. So,
is the goal to remove all the federal courts and the corrupt system, or is it just to remove the corrupt people per se?
Yeah, it's it's to bring the corrupt people under control to behave. And if the people want to remove them, because, and how would they remove them? You know, look at Judge Joe over here. He's a crooked guy. We know he probably is a crooked guy, or we know that he is a crooked guy. But he's willing to behave and do the right thing from this point forward. But if Judge Joe has a lot of skeletons in his closet, they're going to start falling out of his closet. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is going to come to us and say, let me tell you what Judge Joe did to me and my children, how they destroyed our lives. Okay, well, now we got a wrongdoing and we got to fix it. So Judge Joe needs to come down and we got to fix this problem. So you see, all that's going to work out on its own. That's why we don't have to go on a witch hunt. Okay, now, yeah. Federal courts have a place. I don't think, you know, and you know what? Look, when you have a store and it's not getting the business, they make the store smaller. Or if there's six stores in the street, down the street, maybe one will survive, you know, however that works. You know, if there's only enough business for that one store, then one will end up being there. I think the same thing with the case of federal court. I think at some point most of the cases heard in federal court don't belong in New York soil, and they don't belong here because it's made up and it's fiction, okay? And I think it'll whittle down to they'll be left with one federal courthouse. Maybe it'll be left in Albany or something. I don't know. That they'll have to figure that out. I don't think they'll be able to maintain four federal courthouses because I don't think they'll have enough business. There certainly won't be the corporate business anymore going on. It's going to be the people's business. But there is a place for the federal court, and I don't think there'll be much. You see, when you have a good state court and you have the grand jury in control preventing the tyranny, most of the business of the federal court is when the state is terrorizing the people and you can appeal it to, and your unalienable rights are being violated, so you can appeal it to the federal court. And that's what the federal court's supposed to be there for, mostly. That's not the only thing, but mostly. They're there also for, you know, argument, I think, on if you have a patent on something and there's a dispute, they'll hear those cases. And there's other cases they'll hear. But I think we're going to reduce their workload so much that they're not going to have enough business to keep four courthouses open. But I don't know. We'll see. But we're not going to let them do anything that's going to violate the unalienable rights of any of the people.
All right. Thanks for that, John. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to play a couple of songs. Are you going to stay with us for the last hour, John?
Oh, yeah. We'll stay with you for the next hour if you want us.
Right. Okay. Right, we'll be back for the final hour after these next two songs. both are going out to the Cabal. And here's the first one.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Thank you. Hi all, and welcome back to the final hour tonight with Drake and our special guest from the Citizens Grand Jury. I'll get that out in a minute. John Darash.
Right.
A couple of more questions,
yeah,
John.
Let me just make a short point before we go to questions, if I could. Yeah. We are the common law grand jury, and we very specifically use that word for two reasons. Citizen is a word that the fiction has robbed in order to claim and make us part of their system. Of course, they've taken control of that word. The word citizen is really okay, but we did want to make a difference by calling ourselves the common law grand jury. And that was a very important strategy here in New York, because as soon as we did that, they immediately engaged us in in communications, letting us know that they had nothing to do with the common law and they're not us and so on and so forth, which really set a stage right off in the beginning, separating us from their fiction by their own words and not permitting them at that point to try to come out after us by trying to make believe that we are some kind of some kind of a government agency underneath their process. So it really worked well for us, and by the letter writing by letter writing between us and them. But it is important to really put the word common law in there, because that's what we are. We're about the common law. We're not about the nisi prius, or what's called statutory system. So anyway, just wanted to make that point.
No, that's fine. Right, next question for you before I give a handover to some questions for Drake. Quick question. Is it possible to have a conference with John, as I'm in Australia and would love to get our common law juries up and going?
Yes. Yeah, we can have a conference with anyone who wants to talk with us. I don't want to give my phone number out over the air,
no.
and you guys can give it out to certain people that you think might be advantageous for us to talk to, and we'll work the time zone thing out where maybe they can call us in the morning or call us late in the evening or something, you know, so we can be during our waking hours if possible.
Right, to the person that asked that question, I won't give your name out. Please private message me and we'll arrange something. Okay.
Right. And when we get at the end of the program, I'll give you privately, you can take me in the room and I'll give you privately my phone number.
And they should go to the website. They should go to the website and educate themselves, because that's the first process right there. Read the website.
Especially the first page. Yeah.
Right, the first page.
What was the most effective thing you folks did in New York to get people to sign up and be a part?
We sent them to the first page, read the first page and watch the video, and most people that aren't frightened will sign up. It's that powerful. We've been told by the people who have joined up that front page and that video was very powerful, and they immediately got it.
That's okay.
Yeah, and the Williams case was a big, big thing, too.
And that's on the front page. Yeah.
U.S. versus Williams really, really empowered us.
Right. Right, this is a big one. Since you have every county in New York signed up, and given what happened on 9/11 in New York, would it be possible to bring charges for those responsible for 9/11?
Yeah, I think that's something that's going to be taken care of on a national level, and I don't know that we want to really discuss too much of that at the moment, but all wrongdoing that is brought up before the grand jury has to be dealt with, so yeah. But, of course, before dealing with a case that big, there is a grand jury. It's called the Citizens Grand Jury. They're not really us, but they're close, but they're still kind of stuck in the statutory thing. But they did indict Obama, that didn't go anywhere, and it's not going to go anywhere. If the grand jury was to indict something that big, we would want the whole nation on board, and we would come together as a nation in all the states, make the decisions, and then we could indict from each state and make it so that they can't go anywhere in any state throughout the nation without being arrested. So, but those are things I don't think we should talk about at the moment. First order of business is to save our house. We have to, you know, food and shelter is what we have to care about. First 30 days, that's what we're all about, food and shelter. So we have to secure our republic and make sure we secure our resources within our counties and therefore within our states.
Right. This next question was originally for Drake, but I'll throw it out to both of you. When will we start to see corrupt people getting convicted? John?
I guess I'll answer first, I guess. I think if we're successful, and I do believe we're going to be successful in the next 20 days or so, 30 days, let's say, then I think you have a 30-day period of saving the house, so that's 60 days. And then after that, I think you'll start to see things happening. Remember, it is our duty to secure liberty and to secure the borders and to secure the safety of the people. And that's the duty of our government, and they haven't been doing that. So we, the people, are going to make sure that that happens by forcing them to do that. And that's going to take 30 days to do. And it doesn't make any sense to get lost in other things when the house is being on fire and you have no food and water to drink and eat. So we have to take care of those things first. So I would say 45 days to 60 days.
Yes, right. Drake, do you want to answer that?
We got some things, irons in the fire and whatnot, that are going on right now that might just change the whole parameter of everything and put citizens' grand juries at the forefront right quick. There's things going on that I can't mention, but fairly heavy duty. Basically apply to the United States, I'm hopeful we'll be in a position to take advantage of them soon. That's about what I can say, okay?
Yeah, I would like to add to that. I see a perfect storm coming. And you know, we didn't plan it. I don't believe anyone else planned it. But there are big things happening from different directions, and each one of those things empowers the other. And yet they're all on their own and came up on their own. I see the hand of God working in this, and I hope I'm understanding it correctly. I believe I see that God is ready to judge these people by using, like he usually does, the nation. And he'll raise up a people to judge an evil nation. And I think that's where we're at. He's going to judge these evil people because these people have been assaulting mankind for thousands of years. These families have been around a long time, those who understand where these people come from. And they have just handed it down from to their children, to their children, to their children. They look at us as cattle, and they trade us as stocks and bonds. And they don't care about our children. They don't care about suffering. They create wars and destructions and famines and poisons. And I mean, these people are evil. And I perceive that it very well may be that God is going to judge them through what's coming up. I think the justice system, the halls of justice, the place where justice should have been, and we have injustice, we have corruption, we have RICO, we have extortion, we have conspiracy. We watch these judges destroy people in the twilight of their life. They rob them of everything. They strip them of everything. They throw them in the streets. I see people in the late 70s and in their 80s and even 90s arrested or thrown into the street, their homes taken away from them. And I see children being taken away from their parents. Every day I get these calls, every day, across the nation, everywhere. This is a horror story. And I think, you know, often God will judge in this world and also in the world to come. But I think I see that coming. I see a perfect storm. You know, they got their perfect storm, but I think our perfect storm may hit first and may be much bigger to totally blow out their flame by what's coming up. Because when the light turns on, darkness disappears. And that's what we're doing. We're bringing justice back into the court. And for those who don't know, if you look up in Black's Law Dictionary, the word justice is synonymous with virtue, and virtue flows from God. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, you know, think on these things, patience, understanding, compassion, justice. Those are all virtues of God. And that's what should be in our courts, and that's what we're trying to bring back into the courts. And I believe if we the people just do the right thing, bend our knee to the governor of the universe and just do the right thing, I think he will bless us with the liberty that we read about in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution. It's the blessings of liberty. Blessings means it comes from God. I believe he'll bless the people again for doing the right thing, and he will bring judgment upon these people.
Okay, John. Next question for Drake. This is a double question, really. A recent post stated 5 U.S. nuclear carriers have pulled into port at Norfolk, Virginia, at the order of Barry Sotero. Do you feel this is risky? And also...
I don't think... let's put it this way. Our present commander-in-chief has the tactical capabilities of a checkerboard, and I ain't going to say no more.
Drake, have you had any experience with nano silver solution as mentioned in your post about Agent Orange?
Yes. I use colloidal, which is the same sort of thing. It's just a longer chain molecule, but accomplishes the same goal. Most any really good, some kind of decent colloidal silver, and you can make it yourself. There are kits online, but it gets pricey when you have to buy silver, and it's hard to buy the wire, and et cetera. So I just buy the silver. And the thing about it is that... if you take a look back in the day when they delivered milk to your door, you will have found a silver coin in each bottle. And the reason for that is the colloidal silver kept the milk from spoilage. Now, if it'll do that for milk, imagine what it'll do if you take some. And that's, it don't get no better than that. That's only one. There are others, vinegar, baking soda. I mean, there's a variety of naturally occurring items, and colloidal silver is natural occurring. You take a silver coin, drop it in a cup of water, and eventually, and it'll take a long time, but eventually you end up with colloidal silver. So basically, you look at the items in nature, whole ground cloves, colloidal silver, baking soda, people eat cabbage. I mean, the varieties are monumental in terms of the, you'll end up with about 10 different types of things. The thing about it is, if you have a problem, 9 times out of 10, one of those will take care of it. Just take it internally. If you got some kind of a problem like a sore that won't heal, well, it's very simple. First thing I would suggest you do is take a little bit of honey, and I mean raw, unprocessed honey. Mix it with a little water so that it becomes liquefied slightly, and simply put it on the sore. And you'd be surprised how quickly, all of a sudden, the sore is able to heal up. You'd be surprised what it does for warts. Another example is Vicks Vapor Rub. You got odoriferous feet that would make a cat want to try to bury your feet. You put a little of the Vicks Vapor Rub on your feet. Cover your feet with cotton socks, and go to bed. When you wake up the next day, you take the cotton socks off. Of course, they go in the washer. Wash your feet and go about your business. You'd be amazed what the difference is in terms of not having any odor to your feet at all, and what everybody remembers about the gym shoes that try to escape from the locker every night by trying to kick a hole in the door. These kinds of things, cancers, you name it. The ideology of naturopathy means that God put these things, or the Creator, however you want to look at this, put these things here for our benefit. That we are to consume the herbs, certain herbs of the field, for our benefit. Simple spices that people have had around for years, and they have no clue of their medicinal values. There are several places online. If you put in the keywords in your search, healing herbs, you're going to be shocked at how many different things you can get, you can come up with suddenly. So, yeah, nano silver and colloidal silver are one and the same. Nano is the smallest particle that man has found so far that still contains the essence of what it came from. In other words, if it's colloidal silver, the nano silver would still have the same properties. So, same thing, just a different size, pretty much. Okay.
Right, okay. So next two questions I can answer. How many countries are there exactly at this moment? 196, although there's arguments over one of those, Taiwan, being recognized as a proper country. So it's 195 or 196. And the other question is regarding David Wilcock coming on the show. Both Drake and I have both messaged David, and we are both awaiting a reply. So that answers those two. Drake, what is the story about the Bank of America changing its name to Washington Federal, and is the real Obama on the run?
Well, first of all, Obama's not got the common sense to run. As far as a name change for Bank of America, you're dealing with a front organization. You have to understand that. It's CIA-owned. It's operated by the cabal. I don't recommend anybody do any business with banks in general anyway, but that one in particular and a few others I would stay well away from, Wells Fargo, et cetera. The thing is that if a financial institution such as a bank of the same type as Bank of America decides to change its name, it also has to reinitiate its charter. So you got to watch your rules and regulations in terms of banking with them if they decide to change their name, because they could change stuff that could definitely be to your disadvantage. One of the things that the banks are having real trouble with right now is collateral. Therefore, they have a tendency to try to limit your withdrawals. They try to have a tendency to control your funds and hold on to them as best they can, as much as they can. So you have to be very careful, because when you deal with a bank, you open a bank account, you're getting into contract law, and you got to really know what you're doing, because as squarely as finance is anyway, and I'll give you a good example. They got a thing called credit default swaps that nobody so far has been able to understand even what they are. And they've had scientists, they've had superior economists look at these things, and as far as they can tell, they don't know what it is. But they fund countries, banks, et cetera, with these things. So the contractual arrangement in that could be just as bad. If it's something you really can't understand, go ask a lawyer, honestly, and see what he says. I said, they changed their name, and what are they doing to me? And you always have a certain amount of time with which to decide whether or not you're going to do business on the terms listed in the document. Now, if the lawyer starts laughing and says, yeah, I wouldn't sign that thing if they paid me to, then you know you ought to switch banks. Pretty simple. Next.
Right. This is about Social Security. A person's worked at the Social Security National Headquarters for 38 years. He was a budget director at high-grade level with access to the White Building computer. He has told me that Obama and the California gang stole $1.2 trillion from the system, and that the payout is predicated on simple interest and not compound growth. He said that Americans should be getting 50% more in their checks than they now receive. It's a compromised system. Comments, please.
Well, first of all, you got to understand that they're going to lie to you and tell you that you don't get, which you don't, according to the contract you signed with Social Security, you don't get the compound interest. I don't consider that legal personally, but since way back in the day, they've been making 10, 15, 20% interest on the monies in the Social Security account. When you get, and I want you to think about this, when you get in the neighborhood of $1 million in a bank account. You're going to live $3,000 a month off the interest. I want you to understand that. This is invested with the correct people. And that's a low average. $100,000 will give you $1,000 a month or so, $1,200 a month, give or take. The so therefore, if a simple investment on your part with somebody who's competent can produce that kind of income, that kind of return, nobody's going to lie to me and tell me that they ain't making that off that money sitting there. They're not going to convince me of that. You have things that are way over the top that people don't understand. One of those is a trading platform. Your minimum is $100 million. About every 10 days to 2 weeks, give or take, you get that same amount back. You leave it sit there, it does that every 10 days, 2 weeks. Now you tell me, if somebody, and you got way too many thieves in the government, you're going to tell me that somebody in the government didn't figure that out and borrow some money and go play the markets or play the game of trading platform? I'm sorry, but the monies that have been paid in have never been there. The reason for that is that they apply what's called a cushion payout, meaning that the payments in, they allow a small cushion, and that covers the payout. So long as that's working well, they're in good shape. Now, that has been diminishing according to the people, a number of people working. So this is why they're saying, oh, Social Security's going broke. Well, they're friggin' liars. And the reason I say they're friggin' liars is because anything above that cushion is in the general account. And we have never audited it openly, honestly. So all of that money is ghost money. There's your $1 trillion that they took, or whatever. This is the kind of thing, this is the kind of two-step that's been going on in the financial fields forever. This is the situation where the United States declared bankruptcy the first time and permanently in 1867. We've been bankrupt. The country has been bankrupt. When we offer a budget, it is a realignment, a reagreement of that bankruptcy. Doesn't have squat to do with anything else. And people have to understand that if we were paying in the amount of federal taxes, everybody was paying in the amount of federal taxes, and I'm talking at the height of the boom, they would have covered our expenses. The reason it don't, we give money to the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and those turkeys turn around and give it back to us, loan it to us at interest. Now you know where the interest on the national debt comes from. It's all fictitious horse hockey. Then you have the other big lie of debt. That $17 trillion ain't ours. It belongs to the corporation. It's all artificial gobbledygook in order for them to say, oh, we're out of money. We're going to raise the debt ceiling. Oh, my. Now we don't have the income. We're going to have to raise your taxes. We're going to take more of your hard-earned money. It's just a game. Okay?
Drake, how is it that the Swiss have managed to remain untouched by war, yet held all the Nazi loot and continued on to give us the BIS, UBS, UN, Nestle, Credit Suisse, and the Vatican Swiss Guards, and it would seem Rockefeller?
Well, it's called interest. Would you be interested in breaking the piggy bank if it was growing? You wouldn't screw with if you put $20 in the bank and all of a sudden next month it was $200. Would that kind of make your day? Okay, now think about this in terms of big money. Now, it used to be that you put a few hundred thousand together and you got a million, and that was considered big money. Now, this is back in the 50s. You come up to about the 80s, and then you put a few million together and you got billions. Today, you put a few billion together and you got trillions. On and on it goes, round and round. She goes where she stops, nobody knows. I mean, it's a roulette wheel, chance. nobody's being honest. Okay, the Swiss set themselves up as the bankers of the world in order not to be fooled with. Nobody screws with the bank. They think the city of London's something. They should see what all is involved with the Swiss. And, you have to realize that there are a very select few, the Council of Nine primarily, that call all of the shots for everything. It don't matter what it is. Well, we want some jobs in America. Bingo, there's jobs. We think we ought to suppress them. Let's see if we can take over the world. What do you think? Oh, yeah, I bet you can. I bet you I can. And off and down the road they go. And they will try to foment the ruination of things. Crimea, and this is, obviously present news, has been sheltered by Russia from the wholly owned subsidiaries of the central banking system, who all, and this is really freaky, they were stupid enough to all jump up and down and say, I don't think so. Now you know who the crooks are. Exactly. Merkel's one of the biggest stooge crooks going. Obama's just a mouthpiece. He diddly squat. He's a pickpocket. Compared to Merkel, he's nothing. Now, you really want to get into it? Look at the head of the Vatican Bank. Then check the Vatican Bank assets. You're going to find that there's a lot of disparity and a lot of fun and games there. If you want to really have a challenge, I don't know how good a hacker you might be, but see if you can get into the city of London and check their assets. I guarantee you, you won't get in there. Now, what the deal is this. Neil Keenan holds the books. And by the books, I'm talking about the books that have the codes necessary to access these funds and do with them as we see fit. Now, that's only a first part of it. Second part, each and every last country on the planet that is of standing stature, large enough to borrow huge sums of gold from the collateral accounts, has done so. Now, it's either an interest in the gold or the gold itself they can purchase or rent, lease, however you want to look at that. Nobody, and UBS, Swiss, they're really guilty, has ever paid a friggin' dime of that money that they borrowed back. That's like somebody at work that borrowed $10 and you never hear about it again unless you bring it up, and then you get a load of excuses that it hurt somebody. That's the kind of thing that's been going on. And you've got several of these financial institutions who have decided that certain things are not to be done. The tsunami in Japan is a good example of what happens when you don't kowtow to extortion. That was done on purpose because they refused to give up their cash. Now they're after the auto manufacturers from Japan. I wonder why that is. Largest fine ever, $1.2 billion or whatever it was. Well, yeah, there's some problems in this, but you understand, too, that these people that want to do these things to people get a stooge in the right spot, and the paperwork that's objecting to some kind of defect in the car never shows up to the people who can take care of it or will take care of it. Ooh, then all of a sudden, boom! And the guy goes, I don't know what happened, man. I put it all in. Not me. Okay, well, you have to understand that all of these things are staged. They know what's going on. They're usually a part of some agenda. So you have to understand that all of these things are being done purposely, on purpose, directly to do two things. One, to take away the financial power of the people. You tax them back into the Stone Age. Number two, in the process of that, you make them reliant on a system that doesn't really exist. As John has stated, statutes and that sort of thing are not law. Those are rules, regulations, and gobbledygook. If you know how to handle these things, then you can get around that mess. John's a good man to put these things to. You can learn it on a website or whatever. But the thing is that you have to understand we are upsetting the apple cart. We are changing the stage. We are putting our own props on the stage. And there's no way that they can legally or lawfully resist. This means that they're being squeezed. And I hail Putin. He squeezed everybody's kahunas. in terms of what he's done, and I thank him for that. He said, and there's a bunch of agreements being ignored, among other things, but he said, the will of the people. Forget you guys. Well, then all of the banking interests and financial interests and the best government money can buy from the EU, US, UK, everywhere. Oh, you buy you, that's illegal. We're not going to recognize you. Da, 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 da. Flap your gums. Well, the reality is beginning to catch them. They're getting it caught in a zipper. And it's not only painful, but it's waking some of them up to the fact that they really are screwed. They got no place to run or hide. There's no way to get around it. Eventually, and, you know, if this thing goes on as life in general, as it has done, eventually, and it won't be too much longer, the citizen's grand jury and other legal problems are going to eat them up alive. Just that simple. You cannot continually kick a dog and not get bit. Eventually, it's going to turn on you and bite you. Might be only one bite, the only bite that's got left in it, or the only bite it ever gives anybody in its whole life. But it will bite you. So, you know, yeah. And the people are at a point where they don't know which way to go. They would like to march on Washington in formation with their guns on their shoulders and just clean that mother out. Maybe that may come about. It might be more fun to watch these guys get stripped of everything but their underwear and sit on the curb wondering what happened, and then have the cop come along and say, "Hey, come here, vagrant, you're going to jail." You know, it goes on and on. I'll let it go at that.
To the person who asked the question, when will the chemtrails stop? The chemtrails stop when sufficient people step up to the plate and say enough's enough. Chemtrails, GMO, vaccines, and water fluoridation all go with the end of the cabal. And until then, we have to put up with them.
Not exactly.
Yeah, I'd like to pipe in on that a little bit.
I know some of them are being removed.
Tom?
Yep.
There's some actions being taken so that these things can be remedied in a more direct manner, and I can't say more than that, but John's going to – he's got some things about that, I bet.
Right, okay.
Yeah, we too are going to address that, so I'd like to pipe in a little bit on that too. You know, what you have to realize is, you know, I see what other people are doing in other ways. Again, I see this perfect storm coming, but I can talk from our perspective and our position, what we're doing, what our plans are. We do intend on addressing that, and when we go up and speak with the Assembly here in New York particularly, and every state's going to do the same thing to their Assembly and to the Senate, we're going to make it clear that there's a problem here. But I think a lot of this, once New York turns into a common law state, and then you have Florida doing the same, and Connecticut, and Rhode Island, and Maryland, and just a lot of states, California, a lot of states are ready to turn very, very soon in the next 45 days. And once you have that happening, I think all this is going to stop because the fear of being – they realize, first of all, they better start packing their bags. But if we have to deal with it directly head-on, we will deal with it directly head-on. But I have a feeling a lot of it is going to fall away because they're going to go into a different mode. And it may be a mode that they latch out at us. But even with that, I think I can only think that they have a lot of bureaucracy. By the time they make certain decisions, you know, we'll be at another point in time when they're going to have to make some more decisions, and they may have to run or they have to pull the plug to come out after us. And if they do it without their plans, with their cover stories and everything, and the people are on their heels, you know, I think all that's going to fail. So, yes. But we can only hope. And just do the right thing. You see, we talk about just doing the right thing. If you do the right thing, you know, the governor of the universe will bless us for that.
Right, okay. Drake, if there's 90% more gold than we're led to believe, then wouldn't that make Neil Keenan stopping the cabal control of collateral accounts pointless?
That depends on whether or not they got the gold, and I'll tell you right now, they don't got it. We do. So this is why you're going to see, if you look, and you look correctly, you'll see a scrambling for assets. And yes, you can put a bunch of Federal Reserve notes stacked in the vault and pass the stress test. I mean, you know, one poor bank out of 90 wasn't able to borrow enough money to stick in the vault. Everybody else got to the pile first. Well, it's the same thing with gold. They have been stealing, and they've been doing this, and they've been doing that. The problem is that the only settlement between countries that's recognized is collateral, true collateral, which is gold, which means that they have a serious problem because they have been having to pay it out without an income of it, a steady supply. Any retail establishment that don't have sales ain't going to last long, and they are at the point where the sales are going in the toilet badly. So you want to talk about broke or bankrupt? It's getting ready to hit the fan big time. Just be patient a little bit, okay?
Why is it that Israel has a free pass? Their jets are flying and dropping bombs, and yet Obama says he's not going to get involved. Comments, please, Drake.
Everybody's afraid to go up against Israel. The intelligence community, by way of Israel and through their friends and supporters, has been playing upper hand games with everybody on the planet. And I do mean everybody. They don't leave nobody out. The only entity they have not been able to crack in terms of a nut is China. China told them, you do that and we're going to send so many coolies over there, we'll be able to just stomp you to death. You're gonna melt your machine guns and run out of bullets before you kill us all, and then we're gonna stomp you to death. You got that? And that kind of gave them nightmares, so they decided not to screw with China, but they tried screwing with Russia indirectly by way of us. George Soros went over there, and he barely escaped. That's how bad Putin was after him. He tried to ruin the country's finances, and I mean he was in the country and trying to do this. Okay. A lot of the protests and stuff, George Soros. You got to understand what's going on the world stage. Okay, so, you know, Israel is supposedly got little hidey holes packed full of explosives all over the planet, each and every last country. You screw with us and we'll set off biological and explosions and we'll ruin you. And everybody goes, and they go look and then they find a few. And they go, oh, my, maybe they're telling the truth. Well, I don't think so. There are several and varying reasons why I don't think so. But that is going to come to truth as well. Now, there are some things that Israel's having serious problems with right now, and one of those is getting people to show up when they try to call up their citizen military. People are tired of it. you know. What do you want me to? Why do you want me to shoot these Palestinians? I mean, well, you know, you ain't even give me a reason. Well, you don't ask. Pull the trigger. No, my gun jammed. You know, that sort of thing. Along with the fact that half, two-thirds of them are showing up, maybe on a good day. So you know, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get the message. Oh, I was over visiting my cousin. Down the road and across the creek, and he ain't got no nothing, you know, no radio, or I couldn't hear anything. How they're getting away with it in Syria is that everybody's scared to take them on. I would suggest that the United States military has had plenty enough of this kowtowing to whatever Israel decides we should do, wars we should fight for them, and lives we should expend on their behalf with nothing coming back. We're actually providing them with financial aid so they can buy more bullets. Well, we need to cut that off, just to be blunt about it. All foreign aid needs to be stopped, period. Why? Because it's central banking money, and they're trying to get their skinners in any kind of cookie they can. A jar, wherever it's at, they'll find it. Like a bulldog or a bloodhound, they'll sniff that sucker out, and they'll get, if there's any way possible, they get a hold of it, okay? If there's any way possible, they will say, well, we are God's elect. Okay, well, prove it. Walk across that mud puddle and they'll get your feet wet. You're going to have to prove it to me. I'm one of them show me obtuse mothers that don't won't put up with that. There's been recordings on several occasions where some of the younger set has, yeah, we killed your Jesus. What are you going to do about it? Huh? Well, if you're over there, you don't want to fight with the military. You do that, you go to jail for life, or die, or both. And so, you know, you got to stand there and take it. I don't really like that idea. I think it's time that a lot of these junior Hitlers, hello, Mr. Netanyahu, and I hope you heard that, junior Hitler, you need to cool your tool. You need to quit expending the lives of your people for the fun of it. You need to quit playing the Zionist socialist game that Hitler played and fomenting the same thing he did on the Palestinians. You remember the Holocaust? You're doing it to them. Who gives you that right? Who says? You're gonna have to bring God out of the cloud, make an announcement to so everybody can hear it. Or I don't believe you. Just that simple. I think you're horse hockey, and that's my opinion. I will shut up before I get myself in real trouble. Well, I'll have the Mossad over for lunch tomorrow, you know?
Yes. Is Kesh, the flash drive release, a real game changer?
No, it can be if you can use the technology. How many people even understand it? I understand it. I understand stuff a lot more advanced than that. You know, why he wants to believe the fear porn that somebody stuck in his ear. Oh, you get calls in the middle of the night. Hey, man, we're going to roast you tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. We're not sure when. Oh, we're going to catch your old lady on the street and do nasty things. I mean, you'd be amazed some of the phone calls I used to get. Then I started finding out who was making them. You'd be amazed at the change of attitude when you show up with a large bomb in somebody's front yard and start throwing things on the porch that knock chunks out of the foundation. You would not believe when somebody actually stands up and says, "Really? Here, have a hand grenade. No pin. You know, toss. You know, let's play hot potato." Like I said, they tried to kill me in Nam and it couldn't get the job done. And I'm just crazy and obtuse enough to throw hand grenades at somebody that says they're going to do nasty things. So that quieted down pretty quick. Some of the people that decided I shouldn't be messed with figured I was just plain insane, which is fine with me. I don't care as long as they leave me alone. Kesey took people's word for it, and he didn't have to do that. If he'd gone to the right people at that time, he could have got full protection. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that the threats were a bluff. He didn't have to out his information. But it's also nice that he did. I do hope there are some technologists out there that can take that information and really honestly run with it. I would love to see some of the advancement capabilities that are contained in his information put into practice. I'd like to see us tell the oil companies, no, man, I don't even need a gas tank. You want one? I mean, you know, this sort of thing would definitely change the landscape, and I mean change it largely. And these are the kind of things that we need to look at. Healing machines, I mean, we've had people on about different types of applications of healing energies, and I know of a couple of companies that are manufacturing healing machines. They're getting ready to start smuggling them out all over the place. Now, I want you to think about that. You walk into a machine, take about 15, 20 minutes in there, it pinpoints and does a readout exactly what's wrong with you. You hit the button, and it sends that information to machine number two. You go and stand in that sucker or sit down or whatever it is, 15, 20 minutes or so, hour maybe, depends on how nasty it is. And when you come out, everything's back in order like it used to be when you was a teenager and you could eat nails. You were some sort of junior Superman. Nothing could hurt you. That sort of condition, think about it. I mean, this is happening now. This is not down the road 20 years. This is now. The stuff's coming. There's a whole bunch of things in the pipeline right now. And believe me, you take citizens' grand juries. You take people coming after them financially. You got everybody and their mother-in-law suing them out of their underwear just because they don't like them. You know, I don't like the way some people wear their hair, so, you know, they got to be wrong. Let me see what I can do. And, you know, as soon as they start faltering. And you'll see this. All of a sudden, people will start folding their cards and going home, so to speak. When you start seeing that happen, then you know we've fully won. Then we need to collect these perverts and slap them in jail on temporary holding for adjudication, in my opinion. Next.
This last question, we've got about 5 minutes before the music, to probably be best for John or Drake. Given that we're on the brink of disclosure of on many levels, disclosure with a small d and disclosure with a capital D, do you think that disclosure by whoever may make it has to come with a disclaimer to avoid multiple lawsuits?
We're putting no disclosure on ours, just commands and demands.
Because, things have been done to the people over many, many years.
Statutory courts. Only in statutory courts. You're coming into the common law court, all that is irrelevant. We pay no attention to it. Disclosures are what attorneys, it's a creation of attorneys, what attorneys have done to try to protect their hide within the corporate system. We're outside of the corporation. We're back into the true trust, unincorporated, the true trust of the people, which is the government and its judicial system, which all that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And so my answer is very simple. Hell no.
I just think if we get disclosure and there's going to be a raft of lawsuits that's going to embroil us for many years and stop us moving forward. Obviously,
if they come into the common law courts, they'll be thrown out.
Right.
Well, they won't, but here's the thing. You got to understand that the common law is one portion of, okay? And the other part of this is that the reset that is coming about in terms of the true reset, 1787 Constitution, some people say 89, I say 87. We've already filed paperwork with the Court of The Hague, the Citizens Division, in representation of each and every state to become a free, unassociated with the corporation entity, a separate entity. A country is West Virginia, a country is California, etc. The manner in which it was done will require the vote of the people to authorize separation from the corporation. Other than that, that's the only last step in what we've already done. Now, you add to that what John's done with the common law and the citizen grand jury. It's a slam dunk. It's a 3-point slam dunk, in my opinion.
Well, we consider that whole corporation a fraud, so that's why we don't give it any authority. We're bringing it back.
We made sure
to
take the rest of the authority away from them.
Was the country. That's right. They don't have authority. They just did it through fraud.
They've lost their
immunities because they're outside of the government. They're working with a corporate charter.
I know. What we did was we took it away from them. The rest of their, even their assumed authority.
Ooh.
Because the last filing, Meet State stipulates that we absolve ourselves. Disassociate ourselves from any and all corporate entities under any name, United States of America Incorporated, et cetera, et al., all those suckers at the same time. Now, that's sort of a very loose quote, but those things are filed in such a manner that they can't wiggle out of it. It reestablishes our sovereignties, basically. And in the manner that it's done, it puts the problem back in their lap.
Okay, thanks
See,
for
when
that,
we
Drake.
File paperwork, that's exactly what we do. We proclaim, we proclaim our separation from that. And when they don't, and when they don't protest, and they don't say that they protest our jurisdiction, which is common law, it does the same thing. We just put them back in the system where they belong.
Well, when the paperwork comes out, here's how it is. When our paperwork comes out, and the military has a copy, and a few other people have copies, when that paperwork comes out and is stipulated to be valid, genuine, and correct, then you will no longer have to argue that point. You will no longer have to make any separation. It will be permanently made. And that's the difference between, I mean, you're having to go in there and argue with the judge or contend with the court in some manner or another in terms of separation of church and state. And the differential being the congregation comprising the church of the people is such that this is the manner in which we stipulated that this be done by each and every state in the union. And I mean, all of them have stipulated so. So the having that on file and asking people, are you tired of this? Do you want to be free? Vote yes. That's all you got to do. And bingo, there you go. 90% of the people
like
don't want to pay taxes and put up with federal BS. They'll vote yes.
That was the time, Drake. John, I'd like to thank you again. Do you want to say something before it?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us. And I'd like to just end with a quote from William Pitt, November 18th, 1783. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. We've come beyond.
I say, get her done.
That's right. Amen.
Nice. Right, no doubt you'll be back on again shortly, John. You're welcome to come on any time. I know a lot of our listeners
thank you.
Enjoy
listening
to you.
Yeah, we'd like to, if you can, maybe we can get on next week and expand upon what we're doing. Give me a call or something, and we'll work a date and time.
We'll sort that out. Right, thanks, John. Thanks again, Drake.
Thank you.
My name is Thomas Williams. I hope you all enjoyed this show. We'll be back next week with possibly an extra show. Bye for now.
I'm sad to say it's time to go on until we meet again along the road. Remember this on your journey home when you hear